Click on the Tomorrow Matters button, and I'll just tell you who's going to be on tomorrow. Mitch Rofsky from the Better World Club, which is like an alternative to the AAA. So please do listen in. Thank you all for giving us your day. And please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show, which is coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Taking care of someone in your family who can't do it for themselves is just hard. It's tough in terms of time and expensive, too.
The caregivers are really dealing with this financial burden by taking out loans, dipping into savings, ignoring their own health care, and skipping vacations.
Gail Gibson Hunt at the National Alliance for Caregiving says the average caregiver makes about $43,000 a year and spends $5,500 of it caring. Michelle Phillips' dad is in assisted care these days, but not long ago.
You know, I remember there was times that in the middle of the night or in the very early morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, Dad would have an emergency and I'd have to call the neighbor, say, can my kids come over quick? I got to rush Dad to the hospital.
CBS's Sandra Hughes.
This is a pretty groundbreaking study in that it really looks into the pocketbooks of caregivers. And what it finds is that an estimated 34 million Americans are caregivers of people aged 50 and older, and that they're spending more than 10% of their income taking care of people.
We stand on the precipice of the shopping season hole of debt we dig each year, and some folks are saying, maybe I'll get a smaller shovel. The Consumer Federation says 35% of Americans plan to spend less this year.
Higher energy costs is now the number one reason people are pointing to for why they're not going to spend as much this holiday season. It's not only gasoline, but heating oil that we're also talking about. It's going to cost you more not only to drive, but also to heat your home this winter. And so people are going to be cutting back in other ways, maybe not going out to the restaurants, not spending as much on the holiday shopping season.
CBS's Alexis Christophorus. Oil prices today rose 80 cents to $94.64 a barrel. Ackworth, Georgia, near Atlanta, police have three boys in juvie jail. The boys are ages 8 and 9. Police Captain Wayne Denard.
The juvenile victim stated that an 8-year-old boy and 2 9-year-old boys that she had been playing with earlier in the day pulled her into a wooded area where one of the boys raped her.
The charges against them could keep those boys in jail for 5 years. Former Falcons quarterback Michael Vick's already gone to jail 3 weeks before hearing the sentence. WTKR-TV's Mike Mather.
If he is lucky enough to get the lower end of the guidelines, which is a year, he could be out in a year, which would make him eligible, theoretically, for about the second half of next year's football season, and that's been his goal from the start.
Vic was convicted of conspiracy in the dogfighting ring on his Virginia property. People who read books are not bookworms. They're more likely to exercise, visit art museums, keep up with current events, vote, and volunteer. Readers are more likely, in short, to be good citizens, but readers are in shorter supply. The National Endowment for the Arts says some people don't read even one book per year. Ignorant, perhaps, of how much they are missing. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 218 points today. The NASDAQ was down nearly 44. This is CBS News.
Hey, Kimmy, it's Dad. It's about 1 now. I'm at the restaurant, and I've been waiting about half an hour, so where are you? Listen, Kim, I've got a meeting, so I've got to go. Just call me, okay? Kimberly, where are you, hon? Look, I'm starting to get worried. I'm going to give Mom a call. Yeah, can I get the check?
Please drive safer this Sunday. Buckle up, stay alert, slow down. For more life-saving tips, visit roadsafeamerica.org. A message from RoadSafe and GMAC Insurance.
Next time your grandkids ask if frogs have noses, what will you be thinking about? Hopefully not your Medicare plan. Review your plan and options during Medicare's open enrollment, November 15th to December 31st. Once you know you have the right plan, you can get on with the important things in life, like discussing amphibian facial features. For open enrollment details, consult your Medicare and You handbook. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
There's advice from the TSA for the millions of us, about 27 million, who plan to fly during the Thanksgiving holidays.
It always seems as if someone's holding up the line.
Every time we have to search a bag, it takes about 3 minutes. Not only slowing down that passenger,
but everyone else in line.
TSA's Christopher White says flyers should pack their carry-ons in layers.
Specifically, a layer of clothing, a layer of electronics, and maybe another layer of clothing.
To speed up the process.
Our officers will have a very easy, quick, clear view of their X-ray image of the carry-on bag. That will get them through faster.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
This is how brazen big-time drug dealers in Mexico can be. Police say they even know who did this. 20 heavily armed drug thugs invaded the city morgue in Ensenada and stole the body of a drug smuggler who had died in a dramatic helicopter crash. That way, the police in Mexico say none of the Felix Arellano cartel would have to identify themselves to claim the body. They just came and took it. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
We're shopping mall, there's shopping mall.
Things that are small, pops big and tall. Traffic's a mess, there's no distress. Find a new way with no delay.
Traffic's a mess? Fear not. The Garmin Nuvi is here with traffic alerts and clear voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on 34th Street.
Give a Garmin.
The Garmin Nuvi GPS. Find it at Garmin.com or your favorite retailer.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. You know, I love to grant wishes. The bigger, the better. And the biggest thing I know of this holiday is Sears Wishing Hours. This Monday and Tuesday from 4 p.m. to close, the Panasonic Lumix 7.2 megapixel digital camera is on sale for just $99.99. And go online to Sears.com/wishes for next week's exclusive offers just for you. Sears Wishing Hours, Mondays and Tuesdays. Don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Prices may vary in Puerto Rico, Alaska, and Hawaii. Offer valid 11/19/07 through 11/20/07.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to Peter B.'s America. It's a short week this week as we all gear up for the Thanksgiving Day feast. And I guess some people are ready to drop it all and go shopping on Friday. But I worship at the Church of Stop Shopping. I won't be there on Black Friday. I guarantee it. And I want to thank my super producer, Katrina Rill. We have been working feverishly over the last couple of hours. Just caught our breath 5 minutes before showtime. So we had to get everything prepared for the rest of the week and get our reruns in the oven. They all came out okay. And so Thursday and Friday, you'll hear repeats. The best of Peter B. Collins, whatever you want to call it. So that I can enjoy some time off and get together with the family to chow down. And I do want to alert you, or in some cases warn you, that in the final half hour of our program on Thanksgiving Day, you will hear the complete, unedited version of Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant. We blame it on Tom Seaborn and Eureka at KGOE. But it's become a tradition here, and we won't let you down. 27 8x10 color closet photos with pictures and arrows. You remember that, right?
I may be wrong, but you're listening.
Coming up about 30 minutes from now, Elizabeth Kucinich will join us, the wife of candidate Dennis Kucinich, running for president. She, of course, has gotten a lot of attention because, well, Dennis was single the last time he ran for president. And this time, this beautiful, smart woman is on his arm, and heads are turning. People are paying attention, and she's got a lot to say. So we'll talk with her about 30 minutes from now. Luke Ryland, the investigative reporter from Australia, will be joining us from offshore safely because he's the guy who helps us understand the incredible allegations that Sybil Edmonds would level if the gag order were lifted and she were invited to either testify on Capitol Hill or appear on a major television network to be interviewed. We'll talk with Luke about that next hour. Also on today's program, I got a fundraising letter from Al Franken, who wants to be a senator from Minnesota. I'm going to read it to you and see if it's clever enough that it would actually cause you to reach into your checkbook and send him some cash. And Tyson Slocum is going to join us from Public Citizen to talk about the San Francisco Bay oil spill. Nancy Pelosi, the speaker, held hearings in San Francisco today to investigate some of the causes, the slow response, and try to fix the response issues for the future. We've got lots of room for your phone calls today, and it is the start of a holiday week. Schedules are changed. Some schools are out, so this is an opportunity for first-time callers. Don't be shy. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And this is a week when a lot of people disappear, and I just want to thank Cliff Schechter for being there. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I'm fine today.
I do my best to be here whenever I can.
You are there, and I appreciate it. We were scrambling to put, as I mentioned, the shows together for later in the week, and we noticed that a lot of people who normally return our phone calls right away and say, okay, I'll be on the show, have disappeared, and I'm glad you didn't.
It's just not my way, Peter.
Yeah.
Not my way.
So what are you and your young lad and your beautiful wife doing for Thanksgiving?
We're actually going to go home to New York City, where mm-hmm. I was born and raised.
Yeah.
Heading on out of the heartland, where mm-hmm. we were born and raised.
Yeah, you're going to escape from Columbus.
We are. We're mm-hmm. going to go on home, and then hopefully we can take the little guy to his first Thanksgiving parade.
Ooh.
So, assuming that the weather holds up in New York, that'll be fun, the Macy's Day Parade there.
Yeah, you just don't want high winds, because then those critters go wild.
Yeah, I don't want any of those balloons landing on my kid, you know.
Well, Cliff, what have you been up to over at Brave New Films, the Robert Greenwald video and film outlet?
Well, you may have seen recently we had a fun series of videos. It started with Fox Attacks Decency, which is our first one.
Mm-hmm.
And we just wanted to show the hypocrisy of a conservative family values channel that, of course, talks about family values all day while showing smut a lot of the time, or what some might consider smut.
Well, they do have the hottest B-roll in cable television news.
That is true.
I mean, whenever a story calls for some pictures, they go for the penthouse-level graphics, never the G-rated, you know, kind of mild stuff that you might see on the morning shows.
Yeah, no, they really, I mean, we found some stuff that was incredible, and then this has become a huge hit for us, which has been great. That was our first video, and we found, for example, you know, it's not just the kind of footage of when they're doing a story that maybe on a very important topic and you, for whatever reason, it has some sexual aspect to it. We're talking about, they're talking about in Daytona Beach, a serial killer. And they've got somebody speaking about it on one side of the screen. On the other side of the screen, they're showing women in bikinis dancing with their asses to you.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff like that that's just, you know, ridiculous. And since they started this Fox Business Channel, they just ramped that up.
Oh, really? So, have you actually sat still and watched the Fox Business Channel?
I have not, except for the compilation, thankfully, that our people that put our films together put together.
Uh-huh.
So that was our first film, and that did so well. We ended up headlining one of Keith Olbermann's shows and got picked up by a lot of media. We then went and put out a second one, which was really our bigger one that we had planned for, which is called Fox News Porn.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to go that extra mile, and of course we did, Peter, and we showed where they really even go beyond what we showed before, the bounds of of any decency. And between these two videos, we actually created a website called foxnewsporn.com where
mm-hmm.
you can go, and you'll probably think it's, upon first glance, you're on a porn site. And we put the video up there, the newer video, which you can go watch there. And between the two of them, we now have 1.1 million views. So in the span of 2 weeks.
Wow.
Not bad.
Okay, well, I went to foxattacks.com/decency. And I have a video loaded here that kicks off with Bill O'Reilly. Is this the first or the second one?
That's the first one.
Okay. Well, let's drop in and hear the audio track, and I'll try to describe the salacious video when it pops up, too. And we'll see how well this goes here. Go ahead, play. I've clicked play. We've had computer recalcitrance today here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
I get that often, too, Peter.
I'm clicking like a...
Darn technology.
Yeah. It's not going to play, at least not right now. Yeah. I've got this frozen photo of Bill O'Reilly up, and I'd love to get rid of it. Just to
I mean, people all across the land dream of that, you know?
You know what it's letting me do? It won't come out of pause, but I can scroll through it. So here's a picture of a blonde. Fox uses gratuitous sexual images in all of its shows. Oh, there's a woman pulling her top off with a hot pink bra. Now
they're probably talking about, you know, the stock market or interest rates while they're doing that.
Okay, so here is the Chyron reads student raises. And with online show all, and we have a girl who's smiling and clearly is not wearing a top, but her breasts have been pixelated.
So yeah, they do a little bit of that.
We can only guess that she is a living, breathing woman.
We hope.
Mm-hmm.
They do that. It's not quite like Murdoch's other favorite publication, probably The Sun in England.
Oh, right. I've seen those Page Three girls.
Yeah, but they do. It's that kind of stuff. They pixelate it so they can get away with it. But it's clearly, when you've got people who are all the time moralizing about family values and what the rest of us can and can't do to be good human beings and American citizens, it's quite hypocritical that they show what they show. And we figured we'd point that out to their advertisers.
And, Cliff, I just found the scene that you were describing. They've got an African-American news anchor who is on the scene. The Chyron reads, Fox News Live, serial killer targeting women in Daytona Beach, Florida. And we do see dancing girls in bikinis led by a girl who is shaking her booty into the camera in this particular scene.
Yeah, which I think anybody who studies criminology could tell you is more than inappropriate, being that many serial killers are going around doing things based upon, you know, sadism, power, and things of that sort, and they're mm-hmm. they're playing into pretty bad themes that are out there.
Yeah. So, what is your idea of what people should do about Fox porn?
Well, we talked originally about people demanding a la carte programming so that you don't have to actually pay for Fox News. That's what we did with our original one. And we've gotten a pretty strong response to that. And, you know, there are people who argue that issue both sides, but we at least feel that that issue should be part of the conversation,
mm-hmm.
whether I should have to pay for Fox News when I pay for cable. Otherwise...
But the way it works, Murdoch actually pays the cable company to make sure that Fox News and the new Fox Business Channel show up on your cable system.
Yeah.
So they're winning both ways, where we have to pay, you know, some portion of our cable bill does end up going to Fox, but the cable companies also collect, and I believe that on my system, C-SPAN 2 got bumped into triple-digit channels to make room for the new Fox News channel.
Yeah, there you go. That's a perfect metaphor for what's occurred. So there's that, and our second video, which is even more hard-hitting at the Fox News porn site. We talk to people. We introduce this sort of I'm trying to think of how you'd. It's like a tool that you can use. We can punch in where you're from, and you'll be able to find out who the local advertisers are, local companies are that are advertising on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you can call those companies if you'd like and voice your displeasure with the fact that, you know, that maybe you've got children in your house and in prime time. Neil Cavuto is inviting the Hooters girls on, and let them know that you don't quite appreciate that being shown in their advertising on a channel that does that.
So foxnewsporn.com, right?
That's right. And this one's been our most effective, Peter, because we've pointed out some of the racism on Fox before, global warming deniers, and others. But I don't think Fox cares much about that because we're not hitting their base there. We're hitting people they don't really care about. But when we point out the... what they're doing in terms of showing all the racing material and inappropriate material, that's a whole different story because suddenly they're being exposed, you know, among their conservative-based people that do ostensibly care about this,
mm-hmm.
that they're not following what they preach, essentially. And for the first time ever, they responded and they attacked us and, you know, used language, in fact, that I don't even think I can use on the air here.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with Cliff Schechter. You can call us if you have a comment about the images that Fox News uses to illustrate its reports. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. But I have yet to see a story where they give you information on the political polls and show us a polled answer. Now, that's a new low still awaiting Fox. But they'll do it. You can count on that. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a sunset. AM 540 KRXA.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Christmaka, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy holidays from Thinker Toys. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
There's this great Popeye cartoon where he gets inside a Bluto's shirt and he's popping out of his sleeves going, here I am, over here, you. And Bluto is confused. He's going,
hey, where'd you, why you,
he's trying to beat up Popeye, and he ends up pummeling himself. And that is the war on terror. That is the war on terror.
And that's the music of my friend Roy Zimmerman. He's coming with me as we hit the road and take this show to Eureka, California. We'll be live at the Eureka Theater on Friday, November 30th.
We'll be there for the broadcast, 3 to 6 p.m., some schmoozing and hanging out from 6 to 7:30. And then Roy's going to take the stage and perform some of these wacky tunes for us. Should be a great event. And all the proceeds help keep the Peter B. Collins Show on the air. So if you can come by and show your support, I'd be much obliged. Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County, come on down. Eureka Theater, Friday, November the 30th. Look forward to seeing you there. We continue with Cliff Schechter with BraveNewFilms.org. That's Robert Greenwald's organization. And the new website we mentioned is FoxNewsPorn.com. I did speak too soon about the pole dancer. It's not really used to illustrate a political pole, Cliff, but right there on Neil Cavuto Live, there is a very healthy woman swinging her bootay around a stripper pole.
Yeah, excuse me. You had to know that was going to be there eventually, you know? I mean,
wow.
Who couldn't work that into a business report?
Well, Billy Sunshine apparently has been secretly watching the Fox Business Channel. Hi, Billy.
Hey there. And don't forget to announce you're appearing the next week after that in Santa Cruz.
I'll get to that.
All
yeah,
right.
We'll be at the Santa Cruz Planet Cruise Comedy Festival on Friday the 7th of December.
And at the Kuumba.
At the Kuumba Jazz Center, right.
I don't know how to say that word.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is astonishing because what you're saying is too true, and it's been driving me crazy for years, so I love this chance to vent a little bit about this fact. Yes, I have seen the Paris Hilton video where she's washing the car in a very skimpy outfit more times on the Fox Business block than anywhere else. I have to admit that I watch it. It's on Saturday mornings here very early.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of, I mean, you know what's amazing is, how little business they do, how much they skew it towards smut and towards just sort of finding an excuse somehow to bash the Democrats. You know, the stories being, Hillary destroy the economy? That kind of thing. Unbelievable.
Yeah, pretty much their combination of stories, stories that bash the Democrats and the left and nudie videos.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, so I watch it a lot. I really like those shows.
Well, there you go. The interesting thing that somebody pointed out about the Paris Hilton one is Bill O'Reilly also showed it, and he said it was the most disgusting commercial ever before he then showed pretty much the whole thing about 50 times. But another interesting fact is that somebody pointed out that if you remember that little lawsuit that Mr. O'Reilly was involved in, that Paris Hilton was using a loofah in that commercial.
Oh, yes.
So that's actually Bill O'Reilly's fantasy.
Bill O'Reilly. I'm ready to surrender the war on Christmas. Who do I sign with?
I don't know, man. I'm getting ready myself. I'm going to go to a local elementary school and look for a couple of reindeer and kick them over in the front yard.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Billy. Thanks for the call today. I really am surprised at my own reaction here, Cliff, but I do surf past the Fox News Channel occasionally, and I've seen some gratuitous sex there. But as you have it all collected at FoxNewsPorn.com, this is amazing, and it flies in the face of their whole orientation. They act as if, you know, this is the safest G-rated, family-friendly news channel you could select.
Yeah, it just, you know, it sort of... I think, in a way, it is a really good depiction. I don't know if depiction is the right word, but really good. If you watch it, you can figure out the mind of the right, you know, which is to tell everybody else, you know, we've seen it with Larry Craig and David Vitter and God knows how many other people, Ted Haggard and on and on and on, that these guys that feel that they can tell others what to do, and yet they're doing exactly often what they're condemning.
And here's a post from somebody who went to your site. Fox is the only credible mainstream news outlet in the U.S. Some porn on the side is icing on the cake. Now, there's a satisfied Fox customer.
There you go. Well, Joe's Fox's marketing is working, apparently. They're getting geniuses like that guy.
Cliff?
Well, if it's somebody being sarcastic and funny, that's all cool. And I'm not a Puritan, in fact. My big problem is with the hypocrisy.
Yeah.
You know? But when you talk one way and you walk another, it just gets a little ridiculous. And I get tired of the lectures from the Sean Hannitys and the Bill O'Reillys and the Gibsons and the other morons.
Cliff, have a great Thanksgiving.
Hey, you too. Thanks a lot, Peter.
FoxNewsPorn.com. The hits will keep coming.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Home Medic's new Therapist Select Shiatsu Massage Back Cushion. Now with heat. I'm Charles Osgood. National Endowment for the Arts is out today with a new 99-page study called To Read or Not to Read. Drawing data from an array of sources all pointing in the same direction. It seems children are reading. 54% of 9-year-olds read for fun every day. But after the age of 13, there's a sharp drop-off. 72% of our high school graduates are now deemed by their employers to be deficient in writing and English. It seems the older we are, the less likely we are to read for pleasure, once we've gotten out of the habit. There's a growing gap between those who read and those who don't. An increasing number of adult Americans don't even read one book a year. Says the head of the NEA, if kids are put into this electronic culture without counterbalancing efforts, they will stop reading. More after this. Talk about making a great thing greater. There is now a new Home Medic's Therapist Select Shiatsu Massaging Back Cushion with a new deep heating massage mechanism that travels up and down your back and feels even more like the hands of a skilled shiatsu therapist, delivering penetrating relief from tension, muscle pain, and fatigue. What a gift to be able to give someone the stress-melting benefit of a shiatsu massage on demand and without the expense of visiting a massage therapist or owning one of those big pricey chairs. This works with any chair, anytime, all year long. I've got one at home and one here at the office, and I'm getting several more for family and friends this Christmas. The new Home Medic Shiatsu Massaging Back Cushion is truly state-of-the-art. It's so good, in fact, that SBM has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal. I love mine, and I know you'll love yours, too. The new deep-heating Shiatsu Massaging Back Cushion from Home Medics, the leader in massage innovation, creating products with your health, well-being, and budget in mind. Check it out online at homemedics.com, available at retailers everywhere. Reading to your kids is still so important, says Sunil Iyengar, who directs research for the National Endowment for the Arts.
Kids need to be read to at very early ages. We find, for example, that less than half of all, you know, kids between birth and, you know, 5 years old are read to.
But it doesn't stop there.
We really need to encourage that early stage exposure to reading and then to really maintain those readers throughout their growth into adolescence and, of course, into young adulthood.
The success of the Harry Potter books proves kids can enjoy even a long story.
But no single book is really going to solve the problem. It seems that there really needs to be a cultural awakening, in a sense, to get people to realize that there are great books out there, your library, certainly bookstores.
And there's a high correlation between reading and succeeding.
There are tremendous consequences and implications in terms of social, economic, and civic progress. And if we don't help restore reading, you'll see some of these potential declines in other areas.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
I felt Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. We offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota, and our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation. And you're still not listening. If the president won't listen, Congress must.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes. Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie, another
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 34 minutes past the hour. Elizabeth Kucinich joins us right now. She's the wife of Democratic presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich, the congressman from Cleveland. Mrs. Kucinich, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and it must be exciting and incredibly frustrating to be on the campaign trail in this particular season.
It's very exciting. I don't actually feel the frustration. I feel that the potential is absolutely building in this campaign, and people are really seeing now that Dennis is their candidate, that he stands for everything that they want to see in America and they want to see in leadership. And so our numbers are swelling and our polling figures are going up, and so it's just a time of great, great opportunity.
Well, that's very positive, and I'm glad you feel that way. I'm frustrated for him because Dennis Kucinich, for my money, is the candidate who has all of the issues properly addressed. As a progressive American who is an independent registered, but typically has to vote with the Democrats, I don't have too many choices usually. I just believe on health care, on the war, on our civil liberties, on the issue of impeachment, that Dennis Kucinich represents me, you know, as close as anybody possibly can. And the reason I'm frustrated is that every time there's one of these so-called debates, these group gropes on network television, he's marginalized, he's excluded. Tim Russert, you know, told us that the UFO question was serious. And Dennis has so many serious things to contribute to the debate, and they rarely call on him. And when they do, it's to trivialize him in too many cases.
It is, but as you have so pointed out, people are really seeing that it's just a game that the media are trying to play. When they try to really cause a wedge to go between the people's candidate, and not only the progressive people's candidate, but the American people's candidate and the global, you know, people of the world's candidate, truly. If they try to build a wedge, then that's, you know, we can see that they're doing that. Now, when they try to do that, we can just see through their attempts, in that what they're trying to do is, or understand that when the people's candidate and the people are separate from each other, they can, you know, no change can happen, no power is created. But people are really seeing beyond that wedge. They're really penetrating through because the media are being so obvious in what they're doing. People are really waking up to Dennis. And Dennis's name is coming through into their households in a number of different ways, on the internet, through people talking to each other in the supermarket line or across the back fence. You know, there's more than one way that we can really spread this message. So I understand that when the people and their candidate truly stand with each other, the power is enormous and we really can change this system.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what is happening. And we need more of it. So people like yourself are doing such a service to the people to really get the message out there. And I just call upon the listeners there present to really understand that it's up to us, all of us, to create the change, not only Dennis. And we can understand why the corporate media don't want the change. We know who they're owned by and what their interests are. That's fine. Let's not worry about what they're not doing. Let's concentrate on what we can do and what we can do together and will do together.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things, just coming back to the debates for a moment, I have embraced Mike Gravel's entry into the race since he was the first to announce for president back in way back in 2006. And he was excluded from the last two debates for reasons that I find quite arbitrary.
Yeah.
And that could have easily been applied to Congressman Kucinich. What's the difference? I mean, the Kucinich campaign has raised a little more money. And
well,
Dennis
is polling fourth nationally.
Mm-hmm.
So if they kick Dennis off, then they have to also get rid of Biden, Richardson, and Dodd,
right,
who are all polling below Dennis, who have all spent so many thousands and millions of more dollars than Dennis has on the campaign. So, you know, they're really in a difficult place. Also, you know, Dennis won the Democracy for America poll, the DFA poll,
mm-hmm,
and that really showed when his numbers were so extraordinarily sky high in comparison to everyone else's. And when they broke down just where those votes came from, Dennis won 41 states on that poll. 41
yeah.
states, which shows that the support is across the country, not just in pockets.
Well, and MSNBC and CNN have both played games with viewer polls that they conduct on their websites.
When Dennis wins them,
all of a sudden,
them off.
Oh, yeah, well, there was a technical error. Well, we can't have that.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, again, you as soon as the people get wind that actually they can win and that actually there are more people in America thinking the same way as you and I than maybe others would like to see, then we really can see the change. So it's up to the interests who want that status quo to keep the truth away from the people, just as they kept the truth about the Iraq war away from the people and the truth about so many other things like climate change away from the people for their own personal interests. It's time for us, we the people of the United States, to truly stand for our democracy and stand for ourselves. They really see in this this presidential campaign is so much more than just electing somebody into the White House. You know, the next president's got to deal with an economic crisis, got to deal with international relations crisis, the Middle East, got to deal with environmental crisis, healthcare crisis. And you really need someone who can break out of the box with the way of solving those problems, of having policies that really, really address the causes of these issues as opposed to just remedy the effects of them. We really, really need that leadership, and Dennis is that person. And as more and more people see this, it's time for us to really call for people to speak out on behalf of themselves, not only for Dennis, but on behalf of themselves, and to get others to vote for their enlightened self-interest. Just imagine what it would be like if everybody who wanted true universal health care, a universal single-payer, not-for-profit healthcare system, Medicare for all, so the insurance companies are taken out of the equation. If everybody who wanted universal health care voted for Dennis would be elected. If all American Labor voted for Dennis, their only true Labor candidate, Dennis would be elected. If those who really wanted to solve the climate crisis, Dennis would be elected, because he's the only one with a comprehensive plan, truly, to have government literally be an engine for sustainability and restoration of the environment. If you can imagine what it would be like to have every single government department mandated right at the center of what it is that they have to achieve, would be environmental sustainability and restoration, Department of Trade, Agriculture, Energy, Education, NASA. If you think of all the capabilities of all of these government departments, when they start to steer in the direction that we really need to in order to save this planet, Dennis is the one with that proposal. Dennis is the one with that vision. And on the war in Iraq, if you want somebody, if the people who really want peace and want our troops home now and want an end to the occupation and an end to us trying to privatize Iraq's oil, Dennis is the only candidate.
We're talking with Elizabeth Kucinich here on the Peter B. Collins Show. She's with us for about another 7 or 8 minutes. She's got a busy schedule, so if you have a question or comment, get on the line right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Mrs. Kucinich, two moments, and again, despite the way they tried to marginalize Mr. Kucinich in the debate from Las Vegas last week on CNN, he broke through and clearly called for impeachment of both Bush and Cheney, despite their efforts to try to keep that off the table and off the screen. And he also was the only one who really pushed back at the phony frames and bogus priorities that were reflected in the questions that CNN was asking.
Absolutely. There's one person truly with the intelligence and the leadership capabilities to take this country and our world into a completely different direction. And it's really great that not only he has the ability to see that, but also the people who are supporting the campaign. Mm-hmm. And the people who truly love America. And, you know, it's not about the impeachment of the vice president or the president. It's about the upholding of the Constitution.
Yes, it is.
You know, the Congress doesn't have the luxury of being in a position to choose whether they do or don't file articles and do or don't investigate. They're bound legally to have to do so in order to uphold the values in the Constitution and the legal script within it, too.
Well, the day that Dennis introduced his resolution as a privileged resolution, we had Republicans on the program, including Bruce Fein, who helped the impeachment of President Clinton. Not that I supported that, but just to identify where he's coming from, he's a constitutionalist.
Exactly.
And he supports impeachment because even as a Republican, he recognizes that the neocons and the power grabbers in the Bush administration have gone way too far.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gratified that Dennis followed through on that. Again, the effort was barely reported in the corporate media, and when it was, they presented a story for the purpose of dismissing it.
Of course they did, but we know the truth, and everybody who worked on that effort knows the truth, that when Dennis first entered that legislation a number of months ago, House Resolution 333, he stood there alone with no congressional representatives willing to stand up for the Constitution with him. But he knew that he didn't stand alone. He stood on those steps when he entered that bill with the full support of the American people behind him. And as you say so rightly, this isn't an issue of groupthink. This isn't an issue about political party affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
This is much, much greater than that. And we have to break out of our little boxes of wanting to split humanity into different labels and categories. This is about the country. This really is about the Constitution. It's about America's role in the world as well.
All right, let's jump in with a phone call here. Dave in Eureka, thanks for calling. You're on with Mrs. Kucinich.
Hey, well, in the circles I travel, wonderful things are spoken about Elizabeth Kucinich as well. But may I say that I'm convinced what we are witnessing is a terrible abuse of the federal high-tech ability to invade computers and flip things. And whenever you take a poll that doesn't involve a computer, like one of your colleagues has several million listeners, they call in as fast as they can. Kucinich and Edwards beat Hillary 25-1 when they run that kind of a poll. So I am convinced that we are seeing the polling company's computers being invaded, votes being flipped. The reason. Dennis and Edwards both have said, health care for all, how are you going to pay for it? Tax the very rich, take back their tax breaks. So at that point, he became on their list of people to be minimalized.
Well, actually, you know, Dennis hasn't actually said that about funding health care, because we, unlike Edwards, truly understand how to fund health care, because Edwards is for a for-profit system, keeping the health insurance companies in control and mandating that everybody purchase health insurance, just as Hillary does. The difference is that we stand for a truly universal, single-payer, not-for-profit healthcare system, Medicare for All, which shows that $1 in $3 that we pay already on healthcare doesn't go to healthcare. It goes to the for-profit system, executive salaries, stock options, advertising, marketing, etc. So when we take that over $700 billion a year that's just used for the for-profit system, when we take that and we put it into a not-for-profit system, when we put it into healthcare and health services, we then have enough money in the existing system to pay for dental care, mental health, long-term care, prescription drugs, vision, hearing, complementary, preventative, surgical, primary, all of the different healthcare needs that this nation really, really, you know, coming from the United Kingdom, where we have a truly universal system, I've never understood that, why America was under such a system of oppression, where almost 100 million people are either without or with inadequate health care insurance. We really have to understand how it's in the transformation of that system.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to understand that the Edwards and the Kucinich proposals on every level, be it war and peace, health care, environment, you name it, are very, very different from each other, and there is one progressive candidate, and there's one person who's marketing themselves as a progressive candidate and who isn't. And we really have to see through, and we really have to understand the policies. We have to be an educated electorate, and it's up to us really to spread the truth about the situation.
Now to Karen in Sacramento. Go ahead, Karen. You're on with Elizabeth Kucinich.
Hello, Elizabeth. I'm curious about the polls that would be done diversified by age groups. I'm wondering how younger age groups are polling as opposed to people like my own age in the 40s to 60.
I don't know. Do you know why I don't know? Because I literally spend all my time talking to people about our vision and our policies, and I spend very, very little time on looking at polls and analyzing all of that, because we're really about message. And all I can say from my experience of being in front of people is that everybody, old or young, rich or poor, doesn't matter what ethnic diversity, what religion, creed, color, everybody is resonating to the same thing. They all want the same thing, a universal system of care, a truly universal not-for-profit healthcare system, Medicare for All. They want to cancel NAFTA. That's the mainstream position. Cancel NAFTA, withdraw from the WTO so that we can have trade agreements based on workers' rights, human rights, and environmental quality principles, so that we in America can use our power as a trading nation to lift up not only the rights of our own environment and our own people, but also those of people all around the world using the simple mechanism of trade. People understand that we want an end to the war in Iraq right now, not in 2013, as Edwards, Hillary, and Obama were suggesting in the one of the recent presidential debates. We want an end right now, which is why Dennis has written House Resolution 1234, the plan to end the Iraq War, just in case there's anyone out there who wants to do a marching song. It's really good because often people say, you know, how do we get out of Iraq?
One, two, three, four. That's
plan to end the Iraq War. And it's the plan. It's not just literally withdrawal of troops, because we understand that although the presence of the troops in Iraq is fueling the insurgency, it's actually causing the insurgency, we know that if the troops were to leave, then that would leave Iraq very, very vulnerable. So there needs to be middle ground.
All right, let's
1234 really talks about putting together an international security and peacekeeping force that can move in as our troops leave, and that's just the first area of this entire plan.
One more thing.
Dennis has been working with the international community with over two dozen ambassadors and a number of presidents who have all said, if America says it's truly going to end the occupation, close the bases, the military home, the private contractors home, then they would put together that security force. And that's very, very exciting for the American people to know that the international community is there waiting in the wings. They just need to be engaged.
Okay, now to Susan in Soquel. Go ahead, Susan, quickly, please.
Hi, thank you. Peter knows that Dennis is my man and always has been. I worked on the last campaign. I just wanted to say about electability that Dennis has shown the most amazing tenacity to go through everything that comes at him and still prevail, and I want people to notice that. He may not have the charisma of an Obama, but he has
force. Oh, do you know what? He absolutely does, coming from the wife, knowing Obama.
Well, I know really for me does. He does. Oh, my God. I had a really fantastic hug with your husband. He is real, and he is the greatest. So I just want to encourage people, as I have been for, how many years, Peter?
Oh, at least 5 years now.
Yeah, please get on the bandwagon.
Thank you so much for the only candidate
who represents.
Thank you for your support and your continued support and spreading the message. And let me just say that with the question of electability, it's got nothing, absolutely nothing to do with Dennis or his platform. It has everything to do with our courage as the electorate. Do we truly have the courage, and do we believe that we can win as people? Have we bought into the idea that corporations rule the universe even though they do not vote? We vote.
Right.
Have we devolved our power? And I suggest that it's now time for us to claim the power back, to claim our understanding that every single vote counts, every single voice counts, every single person's participation in the political process is what will change it. We mustn't feel disenfranchised. The only way we feel disenfranchised is when we drop out of the systems ourselves. But Dennis is there to speak for us. He speaks to the independent Democrats, to the Democrats, almost to the Republican Democrats, because he's standing up to the Constitution, to the Green Democrats, because he stands for true environmental integrity. So he is there as the choice, and it's now our opportunity and also our responsibility to take that opportunity, to take the world in a different direction, because whichever way America chooses, the rest of the world follows. And the rest of the world cannot afford another President Bush, and it cannot afford any more neoconservative thinking in the White House, which permeates both political parties. Dennis stands alone.
He certainly does. Elizabeth Kucinich, thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Lovely to join you.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break and return here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Our thanks to the Kucinich campaign for bringing us the wife of the candidate, Elizabeth Kucinich. And what an inspiring person she is. If you've got a quick comment, you can call me. We've got room after the break here. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, You need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Just a couple of minutes here before the end of the hour. We spent a little long with Elizabeth Kucinich because she could only stay with us for one segment. And I do apologize that you're going to get a whole bunch of commercials in a short period of time here, but that's how it works in a syndicated program like this. I'm very impressed with her. And she's very much on message, knows how to deliver the campaign themes in a very personal and persuasive way. And, you know, she agreed with me about the frustration that Dennis really encounters with the corporate media in this country. But she appears undaunted, and so does he. And for me, it's inspiring to see that despite all of the effort to marginalize them and bury them, that the Kuciniches press on and are buoyed by the support of listeners to this program and others around the country who are not giving up just because the media has not conferred the same status on Kucinich as it has on Clinton. Let's go to the phones here and see who's got a comment. Nancy in Winters, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having Elizabeth Kucinich on. They're great.
Yeah.
And anyway, I called because I wanted to remind people in Mike Thompson's district, District 1, that he will be having town hall meetings this week. I'm in Yolo County, and our town hall meeting is tomorrow night, which is the 20th at 7 o'clock. It's going to 7 to 8. It's going to be at the Woodland Community College community room in Woodland.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually tonight, the Sonoma-Napa County meeting will be at 7 o'clock also at the Canyon Oaks Elementary School in American Canyon.
Right.
And so I just hope people will turn out because I think it's really important that we meet face-to-face with him. And I'd like to actually see these on a regular basis.
Well, if you have a chance, ask him if he still feels that it's crazy to fear that the U.S. might attack Iran. That's what he said last time he was on this program, and I'd love to see if he's modified that view.
Okay.
All right, Nancy, thank you for the reminder.
Sure. Bye.
I really appreciate that. We'll continue after the top of the hour break here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Superfood.
food for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. The enormous costs of caring for the elderly.
An estimated 34 million Americans are caregivers of people aged 50 and older.
For the holiday season, more Americans say they'll cut back.
The strongest negative influence on holiday spending plans this year is the high cost of gasoline and home heating.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Caring for aging parents takes a physical and emotional toll, and the nation's first in-depth survey of the situation finds it also takes a huge financial toll. Melissa Phillips, who lives outside Indianapolis, has had to scramble to arrange child care every time her dad's been hospitalized.
I think I went up almost every day when he was in the hospital. And he'd be in the hospital, he'd come home for a few days, be in the hospital, home for a few days. So all that running back and forth, that's a lot with the gas prices.
CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes says other caregivers are even worse off.
According to the study, they are spending about $5,500 a year, and that's a pretty big chunk of money when you consider the annual median income is $43,000. They're spending these things on medication that isn't covered by Medicare or Medicaid. They're helping their parents with their rent, with their mortgages, all sorts of things. And one thing, probably the most significant thing the caregivers said, is that it wasn't always the money that was the big issue, as much as just the squeeze on their time.
People in the study spent an average of 35 hours a week providing care for their loved ones. Many said they had to quit their jobs or cut back on work hours. Now this.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda certified used car. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty from the original in-service date, and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000 certified used Honda models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda. Problem solved.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
The Sam's Club Day After Thanksgiving event. I wonder.
You should go.
Who are you?
I'm you, from the future. At that event, you buy your husband an HD TV and throw him a football party so legendary the neighbors name the block after you.
Jill Street?
Jill Boulevard.
Come to the Sam's Club Day After Thanksgiving event November 23rd. Doors open at 5 a.m., complimentary breakfast included. Sam's Club. Enjoy the possibilities. Join today to avoid the 10% service fee that applies to non-member purchases.
It's not what retailers want to hear.
Worried about the rising price of gas, many Americans say they'll spend less this year on the holidays.
A number of U.S. households feel financially strapped and are looking for ways to cut spending.
Bill Hampel of the Credit Union National Association says their annual survey with the Consumer Federation of America shows the highest percentage yet of Americans saying they will cut back this year, 35%.
It will be a tough year for retailers.
If those who say now they'll cut back on gift giving really end up doing that. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Washington.
The symbol of the season is a horn of plenty and a Thanksgiving table laden with food, but it's not the reality for many in this country. And CBS News correspondent Seth Doan reports the problem of hunger in America is getting worse.
According to the USDA, some 35 million people struggle to buy food, an increase of 2.5 million people since 2005. And food pantries are seeing increased demand as rising gas prices and general economic jitters take their toll, both on those in need and potential donors.
Food banks face record shortages. At the nation's largest food bank in New York City, Doan found the shelves empty, the supply of food this month, half of what it was a year ago. New rules on bus safety, school bus safety. The Transportation Department will require shoulder belts in short buses, which are more prone to rollover, and higher seat backs, but will not mandate seat belts in all new buses.
The issue is unfortunately, cost.
Reggie Felton of the National Association of School Boards.
One of the challenges facing our current school districts is that they have had to defer even bus replacement because of cost.
Seatbelts add about $10,000 to the price of the school bus. Al Sharpton says this confirms what he's been saying for many months, an FBI report that racially motivated beatings and noose hangings are on the rise. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambadakis has details.
The FBI report shows a sharp spike in the number of hate crimes reported to police. The numbers rose from 7,163 incidents in 2005 to more than 7,700 last year. More than half of the victims were targeted because of their race, and almost 60% of all offenders are white. As for the crimes themselves, intimidation and simple assaults make up the bulk of the total.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Kimmy, it's Dad. It's about 1 now. I'm at the restaurant, and I've been waiting about half an hour, so where are you? Listen, Kim, I've got a meeting, so I've got to go. Just call me, okay? Kimberly, where are you, hon? Look, I'm starting to get worried. I'm going to give Mom a call. Yeah, can I get the check?
Please drive safer this Sunday. Buckle up, stay alert, slow down. For more life-saving tips, visit RoadSafeAmerica.org. A message from RoadSafe and GMAC Insurance.
Next time your grandkids ask if frogs have noses, what will you be thinking about? Hopefully not your Medicare plan. Review your plan and options during Medicare's open enrollment, November 15th to December 31st. Once you know you have the right plan, you can get on with the important things in life, like discussing amphibian facial features. For open enrollment details, consult your Medicare and U handbook. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll have room for your calls later this hour. I've got a letter from Al Franken I'm going to read to you, too. You'll be shocked to learn he needs money to run for the Senate.
You're in a state like this. You can really...
Sybil Edmonds has appeared on our program many times. I've been talking with her going back to 2003 or 2004. And if you've never heard her name, the quick sketch, Sybil Edmonds is a courageous American who would like to be able to tell the truth, to blow the whistle on what she learned when she was working at the FBI. She was hired there as the first Turkish translator to join their translation department after 9/11. And as she worked there, she became very uncomfortable with some internal policies and practices, and also with the functioning of some of her fellow translators. And in the process, she came across some very incredible information, very important information, that she would like to share with the American public, with a congressional committee. But she is subject to an unusual gag order, first issued by John Ashcroft as Attorney General, and it has been sustained in court proceedings since then. And if you've heard about this before, it is so murky. We're supposed to be a nation of laws, yet the silencing of Sybil Edmonds is accomplished by the state secret privilege, which is not a law. It is simply something our government has asserted over the years, none more frequently than the Bush administration. And it has been largely upheld by the courts. And it goes like this. We can't permit her to testify, to share what she knows, because it would expose the methods and sources that are so critical to our national security. And, of course, our government has asserted that in cases where the information is already public. They're still denying Maher Arar, the Canadian who was renditioned tortured, and he was he received an apology and a cash payment of almost $10 million from the Canadian government. But our government continues to shut him down, most recently at the U.S. Supreme Court. And today in the New York Times, one of the editorials addresses that very issue. But returning to Sybelle Edmonds, I know she would very much like to be here today because she has decided to risk the wrath and sanctions and penalties from our government. She wants to go public and tell what she knows. And so far, we cannot find a major American news outlet that will agree to simple ground rules. She wants to be interviewed. She wants the unedited interview to be broadcast. And despite the fact that she's been on 60 Minutes before and been featured on Keith Olbermann's Countdown before, from what I know, the only news outlets who have agreed to interview Sybelle Edmonds about what she knows about what she considers to be criminal behavior in the U.S. government, only foreign news outlets to date have agreed to those terms. Luke Ryland returns to our program. He has been on with us before, and he loosely works as a translator for Sybelle. Not that her English is not nearly as perfect as ours, but because of this gag order, he helps us understand some of the issues that Sybelle would like to bring forward, because he is not subject to a similar gag order. Luke joins us from Australia again today. Hello, Luke. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Peter. Good to speak to you.
Nice to talk with you again, and thanks for all that you do on behalf of Sybelle Edmonds and Americans like me who really believe we deserve to know the truth, we deserve to hear what she has to say, and it's incredibly frustrating that she remains in this predicament. Is there anything you can add to what I just said in the introduction about the response from news organizations to her recent offer to tell what she knows?
That was a pretty good introduction by you, Peter. Well done. We actually had another piece, an article that went out last night, or this morning for you guys, that ran on Brad Blog. I think Brad Blog's a friend of your show.
Oh, indeed. Brad's on with us every week. Mm-hmm.
He ran a new article yesterday outlining the absence of activity from the U.S. mainstream media. It's really quite appalling. But Brad did interview Daniel Ellsberg, who's a friend and supporter of Sybelle's, and he had some fantastic quotes that came out in that article. And he was saying, Daniel Ellsberg, who leaked the Pentagon Papers, during the Vietnam War,
right,
said, that what Sybelle has to say is far more explosive than the Pentagon Papers, far more explosive than what he had to than what he leaked all those years ago.
Now, I just want to offer a little context for that, because many of our listeners might be, beneficially younger and didn't live through the experience of the Pentagon Papers. But what Daniel Ellsberg did, and he worked for the Rand Corporation, and he gained access to this incredible set of documents, which he was desperate to make public. And ultimately, they were a pivotal factor, the release of those papers, in the ending of the Vietnam War. It took a long time, and there were a lot of legal altercations and lawsuits, and the New York Times ended up before the Supreme Court, I think on more than one occasion, related to the Pentagon Papers. So for Ellsberg to say that what Sybelle Edmonds has is bigger than the Pentagon Papers, that really, sets a standard here and gives us an inkling as to what's behind the curtain. And we have to ask, has the corporate media in this country grown so timid, so intimidated by the Bush administration, that they're not willing to stand for principle, stand for our Constitution, and stand for our nation, and not the temporary nature of standing, or cowering before the Bush administration? It's really shameful, Luke.
It is really shameful, and I think, as you mentioned in the introduction, since Sybelle has made her offer, there really hasn't been anyone in the mainstream media that is willing to take her up on it. A couple of the major networks have had brief discussions with her, but they're not willing to take the final step. Just to go back a little bit, I think I spoke to you last time, Peter, in April,
mm-hmm.
when Sybelle launched a new campaign to try to get her information brought out in Congress. So this story has been going on for 5 years now with Stabell trying to get the information out, which is, you know, very important to the American public, and mind you, to the Australian public as well, which is part of my interest in it. And when we spoke in April, we had a new campaign to try and get Henry Waxman, the chairman of the House Government Reform Committee, to hold hearings into Stabell's case.
Mm-hmm.
Before the November 2006 elections, when the Republicans were still in power, Henry Waxman and his staff went through Stabell's case. Mind you, it's already been investigated. The FBI, the Department of Justice, have done their own internal report by the Inspector General.
That's right, and it's very...
A classified version of that was released, but Henry Waxman has seen the classified version of the report, and he was horrified about the things that it contained and promised Stabell that he would hold hearings when... Mm-hmm. The Democrats got into Congress. So that was sort of, you know, prior to November 2006, and then he was silent until April, so we launched a new campaign in April, and after 6 months, that still nothing has happened on that front. So Stabell's last step and desperation is to, you know, make this offer to the American media to broadcast her story, because she's run out of options. She's been through the Supreme Court, through the court system up to the Supreme Court, and she really doesn't have anywhere else to go.
Well, a couple of things. One is you referenced the Inspector General of the Justice Department, Glenn Fine, investigated the claims of Stabell Edmonds and established that they are with merit. He was very clear that she's not, making things up. It's not some sort of personal vendetta. It's not some sort of a politically motivated effort on her part. And if I may, I don't think Stabell would object to me saying just this little bit. I know that her taking this on and being willing to confront the government at this particular time comes at the risk of great personal expense to her, because she's planning to adopt a child in the next few months. And to imagine that, she doesn't know that 30, 40 days from now she might be subject to some sort of government penalty. And it's possible. We have covered this on this program. Under the Military Commissions Act, she could be declared by the Bush administration to be an unlawful enemy combatant. And they could go to this. I know this sounds extreme to people, but it is within their reach to put her in a Navy brig, to send her to Guantanamo, to disappear her in one form or another and put her beyond the reach of family, friends, lawyers, and courts. And I say that to try to put in perspective for our listeners how courageous Stabell is and how important she believes it is that we deserve to know what she blew the whistle on. And so with that in mind, Luke, let me take a break now, and we'll come back and summarize what is out there on the public record relating to the information that Stabell Edmonds has and what she would like to bring forward if some people in Congress or in the American media would simply permit her to do so. Luke, stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, okay?
Rightio.
Luke Ryland in Australia, Peter B. Collins here in San Francisco. And if you have a question or comment, get on the phone now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. My email's working, too. It usually does. Peter@PeterBCollins.com.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 394-5117.
And we're actually going to take a look at a crash right now for you folks. We're going to mention a very serious accident that has actually been cleared. Hollister, on Highway 156 east of Highway 25, there was a very, it was actually a crash that involved two confirmed fatalities. Everything has been cleared, but there's an investigation still. We have CHP units still on scene. Looking at slow traffic right now, eastbound 25, a little bit of slow and go traffic right now between Gilroy and Hollister at this point. And southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel looking pretty good, to be honest with you. And this report is brought to you by the folks at 1-800-Flowers.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Luke Ryland, an investigative reporter based in Australia, who joins us from Down Under right now. We're talking about the case of Sybelle Edmonds, FBI whistleblower. We know the outlines of her information. I don't know the specifics, but what I know is quite alarming and deserves to be fully aired and investigated. Luke, we'll get into the details here that we know that are on the public record in just a moment, but Steve in Salinas has a comment. Go ahead, Steve. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I wonder if maybe she could talk to Dennis Kucinich, because I thought I heard a long time ago, I don't know how long ago, that he was thinking about investigating 9/11, and nothing's ever come of it. And maybe if she could talk to him personally, privately, and maybe they could do some investigations, have a committee to investigate some stuff.
I believe that the congressman is aware of her. Luke, what do we know about Kucinich and Sybelle Edmonds?
I didn't actually hear the question. I heard your question, Peter, but not the caller's.
Oh, I'm sorry. He asked if Sybelle could take this to Congressman Dennis Kucinich, and my impression is that that base has been covered.
I don't know the full specifics of her contacts with Dennis particularly, but she has spoken to a number of congressmen, including Senator Leahy and Specter, and as we've mentioned before, Waxman and others, John Conyers, for example. I don't know the specifics of her contacts with Kucinich.
Okay.
Kucinich apparently seems to be just one of the only people in Congress that isn't on the take from any of these foreign interests. So perhaps he might be, a good avenue. I'm sure he's aware of the case, but still he hasn't done anything.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you, Steve. Outline for us briefly, and Luke, let me just give you a couple of minutes here. I won't interrupt you. And ask you to tell us particularly the information that Sabell is aware of related to AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, and ATC, which is not an all-terrain vehicle, but ATC is the American-Turkish Council. What is the connection, if any, between those two groups and the information that Sabell would like to give us?
Those two groups basically business lobbying groups for Israel and Turkey in Turkish interests to lobby the U.S. government primarily for business, most particularly with military sales and whatnot. The ATC, the American Turkish Council, was in fact set up by guys like Richard Pearl and Douglas Fife and others as a almost a spin-off of AIPAC and JINSA, another Israeli lobby.
Right.
Douglas Fife and Richard Pearl had a lobbying company in the 90s, in the late 80s, that was lobbying for Turkey, primarily on Israel's behalf. But they came under suspicion, their lobbying firm, for various espionage and leaking secrets and whatnot. So Pearl and Fife shut down their lobbying company, which is called International Advisors, Inc., and then basically set up this Turkish organization, the American Turkish Council. Sabell was aware of investigations, counterintelligence investigations of both AIPAC and the American Turkish Council, which indicated that both of those organizations or sub-segments within those organizations were basically a criminal front to steal secrets from the U.S. government, including nuclear secrets, and sell them to the highest bidder, which includes some of America's enemies, not least terrorist groups.
Mm-hmm.
So those two organizations, elements within those two organizations, were caught spying on America's military interests and also bribing congressmen for various reasons, mostly to get to leak secrets to them so that they could then sell it to the highest bidder. Dennis Hastert is the one prominent name that has come up. He's reported to have received at least $500,000 in suitcases of cash delivered to his home by these foreign criminal interests. And Sabell says, I think there are three others that she knows of, three other congressmen that she knows of, who are equally bribed by these folks.
And in some information that you have blogged, which includes some quotes from Sabell Edmonds, she indicates that very high-up authorities beyond the FBI and the Justice Department shut down some key investigations into these areas.
That's exactly right. Sabell says that the people at the FBI, at least the agents on the ground, do a fantastic job, and they've been running counterintelligence operations against AIPAC and the American Turkish Council since at least 1996. And every time they try to, bring those investigations to an action point where those people like Richard Pearl and Douglas Fife are thrown into prison, the investigations get shut down by the people at the State Department and at the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
That is, the people who are being investigated and are about to be thrown into prison have the authority or the ability somehow to shut down the investigations into themselves.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty good racket, Peter.
Now, Luke, just about a minute remaining. Can you give us a couple other key bullet point areas that Sabell would talk about if given the opportunity?
Well, again, there's spies in the Pentagon, the State Department, and the FBI that threaten all of our security. A lot of the activity involved in her case is illegal weapon sales to foreign interests, the leaking of nuclear secrets, so there's leaking of nuclear black market stuff to terrorists and other organizations. You know, all that stuff that's going on with Pakistan now, a lot of that relates directly back to Sabell's case.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's the whole 9/11 element as well. She heard various wiretaps indicating that the U.S. government knew at various levels that the attacks were coming.
All right, sir. Luke Ryland, thank you for your work. We'll talk again, and I hope very soon we're going to see the unedited Sybelle Edmonds interview on a major American TV channel.
I hope so, too. Thanks for your help, Peter.
Okay, Luke, my pleasure. Thanks for being available for us today. Coming up next, we open up the phones for your calls at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The perfect environmental win-win. Or is it? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Professor Sharon Doty at the University of Washington found a way to plant a rabbit gene in the DNA of a poplar tree.
The mammalian genes are extremely well studied, and this particular one is very good at degrading a whole bunch of environmental pollutants. Many of them are carcinogens.
Yes, a rabbit gene that can give poplar trees the power to break down benzene and hazardous substances.
People wouldn't abandon their contaminated sites, but would plant a grove of trees and clean it up.
A win-win. Waste sites turned into poplar groves. And while you'd think a rabbit gene in a tree would cross some line, Professor Doty isn't worried.
People don't understand how the basic genetic code is the same between many organisms.
But over at the Union of Concerned Scientists, Doug Gurian-Sherman is worried.
When you take a gene from a completely different organism, like a rabbit, and put it into a plant, it's nothing like what we have now. And we really don't know how that enzyme might act in the tree.
Or what would happen to tree-eating bugs that might enter the food chain. It could even backfire, as has happened with attempts to make food crops pesticide-resistant.
Those crops have induced the development of serious weeds that are resistant to the herbicide and are now causing an increase in herbicide use.
So what will happen to the tree with the rabbit gene? I don't know, but they should be really easy to transplant, don't you think? You just, wave a carrot over the hole. Now this.
Oh, Billy's home with a bad mucus.
I feel a mucus coming on myself.
I heard there was a mucus going around.
Robitussin knows you don't catch a mucus. You catch a cold, which can come with coughing and other symptoms like congestion, a stuffy nose, or a scratchy throat. So why do some medicines act like mucus is your only symptom? Robitussin has customized formulas to relieve whatever comes with your cold, even mucus.
Gesundheit.
Robitussin has formulas to relieve all your cough and cold symptoms, even mucus. Use as directed.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff for the season the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1, heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
You got the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. It's 33 minutes past the hour. My lines are open to talk with you. Free speech right now at 888-5-PETER-B.
Guess who just got back today? That wild-eyed boy that had been away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are great. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you could be found. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are back in town, the boys are back in town. I said, the boys are back in town.
That's right. My lines are open for you. Toll free at 888-573-8372 or 1-888-5-PETER-B. And if you'd like to comment on Luke Ryland's coverage of Sybil Edmonds' situation, I welcome that. I've got a letter from Al Franken I want to read to you, and I also have some interesting commentary from Jameson Fozer of Media Matters about the way the debates have been conducted in the presidential race so far. But I want to follow up on one item related to Sybil Edmonds. Today at thinkprogress.org, which is the action blog and interactive service of the Center for American Progress, there were a series of exchanges that were triggered by a guest blog written by Henry Waxman, who is, of course, the congressman who chairs the House Government Reform and Oversight Committee. Sorry, it's Oversight and Government Reform. And he wrote a nice piece and, you know, encouraged people to blow the whistle and hold people accountable and things like that. And if you go to the site, thinkprogress.org, read Waxman's piece, and then click on the comments below, there is a rather spirited exchange between bloggers with various nicknames and Faz Shakir, who is our buddy who joins us every Thursday here. He's a co-editor of the Progress Report, and he runs the Think Progress blog. He's the research director at the Center for American Progress and a generally good guy. But what was interesting today is that Faz started to feel that people who were posting comments critical of Waxman for not pursuing Sybil Edmonds' issues got kind of irritated at the way that Faz was responding. And while it appears, from what I can tell, there's been nothing removed from the thread, Faz said that at Think Progress they don't do 9/11 conspiracy and that people ought to take it somewhere else. Well, a little bit later in the thread, our friend Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, who is the guy who got the exclusive from Sybil about her desire to bust through the gag order and sit for a major television interview, which has yet to materialize here in the United States anyway, he politely responded to Faz. And I'm not going to read the back and forth to you, but I recommend if you have time and you're so inclined to go to thinkprogress.org, find the Waxman post, click on the comments, and then read them for yourself. Because I believe that Faz is mistaken in believing that Sybil is part of the 9/11 truth movement. She is trying to blow the cover off criminal wrongdoing, which in her view includes information that she discovered as an FBI translator, and we have to take her word for it. I have no proof at this point. She says that she saw information that indicates that key administration officials knew in advance what was going to happen on 9/11. Now, it's tied with an array of different issues that have nothing to do with whether an airplane hit the Pentagon and, you know, whether accelerants were used to bring down the World Trade Centers, things that, you know, I think are worth pursuing separately. I don't consider those part of the Sybil Edmonds case. But it appeared that that was the tack that Faz took. And I think that in a very polite but firm way, Brad Friedman set the record straight there. I spoke to Brad before I went on the air today, and he indicated that he and Faz had talked, and so I think they have ironed out whatever differences might be there. But I just recommend that you take a look at that because it does, you know, show you how even people who I think are very well-intentioned sometimes misconstrue these things. And it once again shows how isolated Sybil Edmonds is in her effort to simply fight for the truth. So take a look at that if you have a chance. I think you might find it interesting, and you can let me know what you think about that. Lines open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Oh, good. Henry called back. Henry? Yes,
hi,
sir.
Peter, how are you doing today?
Just fine. I'm glad you called back because you called at the very end when Elizabeth Kucinich was here last hour, and you raised a very good question. Lay it on me.
Right, yeah. I was wondering what's happened to independent groups such as the League of Women Voters running the so-called debates. They seem to have taken a turn for the worse since they're not involved anymore.
Well, Henry, I have a few minutes here, so if you'll indulge me, I'll offer you a bit of a lengthy explanation.
Sure.
We have talked about this in one way or another on the program before, but what you'll notice is that Tim Russert, who works for NBC Television, okay, the full network, not the cable channel,
right?
He does not conduct these debates on Meet the Press or on the main NBC network that appears on its broadcast television stations. And that's an important issue. It's a distinction here that changes the rules that these debates are conducted under. All right? If Tim Russert wanted to stage a debate of the Democratic candidates, for example, on NBC, and it were going to be broadcast on the NBC affiliate stations, including those that are owned by the network, they would be required to set up the kind of League of Women Voters structure that you saw in the past. And the reason is that broadcast stations are still subject to what is left of the 1934 Communications Act. Now, it was largely modified by Reagan in the 80s, and then Clinton took even more wax at it with the telco bill in 1996.
Right.
But there is still a clause in there that requires essentially the equal time rule during political campaigns, and that has a version of the fairness doctrine. It's not the same thing that the FCC blew out in 87 or 88, but it basically requires fair play and generally equal time when federal candidates are involved in these kinds of broadcast debates. So, by originating these debates on cable channels like MSNBC or Fox News or CNN, they are not subject to the 1934 Communications Act. You might find it bizarre, but cable is not regulated by the same set of laws that broadcast radio and TV are. So this permits them to play fast and loose with the rules and, for example, as I referenced, exclude Mike Gravel from a debate on arbitrary guidelines. Now, if they had said a year ago that we're going to be conducting debates and here are the ground rules, all right, you got to raise $1 million, you got to show up in the polls at X percentage among likely voters by a certain date, and if you don't, we don't consider you a serious candidate and you won't be invited. Okay, that would have been a fair way to do it. But instead, just in advance of the Philadelphia debate, NBC all of a sudden said, we're not inviting Mike Gravel because we don't have to. And he hasn't raised $1 million, so he's not a serious candidate. Now, I don't know how much money Joe Biden has. I don't know how much money Chris Dodd has. I think they each bring interesting things to the presidential race, but neither one of them is a top-tier candidate.
Exactly.
Yet they get invited, Gravel doesn't, and I worry that Kucinich could be next.
Well, it just seems that even so, with all that, I mean, what's I don't see any problem with having it on the broadcast network and giving each one an equal time to respond. It seems like that would be such a boon for the network itself.
Well, but it might cost them something because most of the time, now CNN did run some commercials on the debate from Las Vegas last week, but for the most part, these are done without commercials and nobody really sponsors them. I mean, it was surprising that Clean Coal wanted to sponsor the Democratic debate. So part of it is money. That, you know, they don't want to take off their The Office and, you know, other primetime moneymakers like whatever's on NBC. I can never keep it all straight.
Yeah.
But it's money and it's the legal issues that I mentioned to you. If they do it on their broadcast channels, they have to play by the rules. And when they do it on their cable channels, they don't. And they take advantage of that. And I agree. In fact, a friend raised that with me, and I was complaining about the way CNN conducted the debate last week. And he said, yeah, what about the good old days when the League of Women Voters did it?
Well, it seems like we need to get back to that, the real true fair and balance, not the Fox News fair and balance, but
gotcha.
The real one.
Henry, thanks for the call today.
Thank you today, Peter.
All right. My lines are open for you if you'd like to comment on this. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And while I'm waiting for more calls to come in, I want to direct you to MediaMatters.org. Jameson Foser is one of the senior fellows there at Media Matters and joins us on the show about every third week. And it's not his week to be on. But I wanted to direct you to a column that he wrote that's at the Media Matters website. And just look for the name Foser, F-O-S-E-R. It'll pop up on the homepage there. It's a lengthy analysis. But what JMO and the people at Media Matters do is they actually break down the patterns of the debates, the questions that are asked. And JMO's a very thoughtful guy who's identified here what's missing. He says, through 17 debates this year, roughly 1,500 questions have been asked of the two parties' presidential candidates. But only a small handful of questions have touched on the candidates' views on executive power, the Constitution, torture, wiretapping, or other civil liberties concerns. Only one question about wiretapping. Not a single question about FISA. There has, however, been a question about whether the Constitution should be changed to allow Arnold Schwarzenegger to be president. Not one question about renditions. The words habeas corpus have not once been spoken by a debate moderator. Candidates have not been asked about telecom liability. But there was this illuminating question asked of a group of Republicans running for president. Seriously, would it be good for America to have Bill Clinton back living in the White House? Though Republicans often claim that the Bush administration's warrantless wiretapping of Americans is necessary to prevent another 9/11, debate moderators have not once asked candidates about recent revelations that suggest the administration began its surveillance efforts long before September 11, 2001. And that's before the attacks, not in response to them. But NBC's Brian Williams did ask the Democratic candidates what they would go as for Halloween. No moderator has asked a single question of a single candidate about whether the president should be able to order the indefinite detention of an American citizen without charging the prisoner with any crime. But Tim Russert did ask Dennis Kucinich, and what he felt compelled to insist was a serious question, whether he's seen a UFO. Well, and JMO is too kind here to include the Shirley MacLaine reference, which, of course, was a slap. No moderator has asked a single question about whether the candidates agree with the Bush administration's rather skeptical view of congressional oversight. But Hillary was asked, do you prefer diamonds or pearls? And you know that CNN engineered that question in place of a serious one by that student about the Yucca Mountain nuclear site. As Ezra Klein has noted, this is all particularly shocking in light of the fact that the cable channel CNN has made a big deal about the Clinton campaign planting a question about global warming in an audience recently. Planting questions about the future of the Earth? Bad. Prompting someone to ask the first woman to have a legitimate shot at being elected president about jewelry preferences? That's just good television. So if I have time in the next segment, I'll read you a little more of this, but it's a fascinating analysis. You get the idea. And CNN really should be ashamed of itself for the way they conducted that debate last week, by opening up and inviting mudslinging, and then shock, shock, shock. I didn't think that actually mud was slung, but Hillary returned the fire of Obama and Edwards by calling it mudslinging. Now, that was according to the CNN script, I think. Let me know what you think. Lines open for you, 888-5-PETER-B. Just after the top of the hour, Tyson Slocum will join us to talk about the oil spill on San Francisco Bay and the slow response. In the meantime, your calls and comments are welcome, and more calls next hour to 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at KRXA540.com. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special.
Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
And let's take a look at traffic, give you the very latest information here as you folks make your way home tonight. Taking a look at Highway 17, northbound direction at this point. Everything looking pretty good. Really not much to talk about at this point. We did have a problem. Let's see, Santa Clara, we're just going to mention, let's forget about that. Let's cruise right on over to Monterey, southbound one before Mondres Avenue. We have a solo vehicle crash. Apparently, a vehicle went off the off the roadway and into an embankment in the shoulder there. Also want to mention eastbound 25, slow and go out of Gilroy into Hollister. Looks like southbound, well, let's mention southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel, rather slow right now. Also, eastbound 124, we have a 129, slows between Watsonville and Aromas in pockets.
Be the president of America like my daddy. He's a mean son of a bitch. He's the Big Mac baddie. So he got me an election that he took from Al Gore. Cause the pussy don't know a damn thing about war. I am the king of the world. My kingdom's under construction. And I'm building it with weapons of mass destruction. The United States has divided nations. Got billions of dollars of bombs and we're not gonna waste my pants in the Congress and I show them my ass. If they kiss it, it's a ticket to the top of the class. I go to war when I want to and I make the first try.
That one's called Georgie Boy here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And an email exchange over the weekend revealed that I have been misidentifying Andrew Horobin, the creator of that tune, as a New Zealander instead of an Aussie. He is from Australia, and you have my personal apology. Still a killer tune, I'll say that. 888-5, Peter B., if you'd like to join us, 888-573-8372. Coming up just after the top of the hour, Tyson Slocum will join us. We're going to talk about the hearing today held in San Francisco, investigating the oil spill on San Francisco Bay after that incident where a 900-foot freighter ran into one of the Bay Bridge supports, and Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker, convened that hearing today. And there's room for your calls between now and the end of the show today, so feel free to call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. For our listeners at the mighty KGOE 1480 in Eureka, just another reminder that I'll be bringing the show to Eureka on Friday, November 30th. We will broadcast live from the beautiful Eureka Theater. That'll be, of course, at the regular time, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific. And then we'll take a little break for a schmooze and meet and greet. And then about 7:30, Roy Zimmerman will take the stage and perform a whole package of his great political satire tunes. And the tickets are only $10, half price for veterans, so I'd like you to come by and support the program. If we make any money on this, it helps retire some of the debt here at the Peter B. Collins Show so that we can keep the program on the air every day for you. That's Friday, November 30th at the Eureka Theater. Hope to see you there. Well, I get a lot of letters in the mail. This one came off my subscription to The Nation magazine because, you know, you can tell exactly the way the label is written. And it reads, "Dear person, I'm asking for money. Just a few short months into my campaign for the United States Senate, one thing is clear. We've got Norm Coleman on the run. I'm not just saying this because the Republican slime machine has ramped up its attacks on me. I'm not just saying it because the polls are headed in our direction. A Survey USA poll released recently shows that I've closed within 7 points of Norm Coleman. I'm saying this because the Coleman campaign is saying it." That's in bold type. "When Senator Coleman's approval rating dipped after another 5 points in the summer, his campaign manager, Cullen Shaheen, was asked about it by the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Quote, I would definitely say the recent negative political attacks from Al Franken, the Democrat Party, and liberal interest groups have had some effect. And Franken goes on in this letter, couldn't have said it better myself. Recently, Senator Coleman voted against bringing our troops home from Iraq. So my campaign took out a full-page ad in the Star Tribune, calling him out for choosing to stand with President Bush again. We're holding Norm Coleman accountable for his votes in favor of this war, and Minnesotans are listening." And then he goes into the pitch. He wants $25, $50, or $100 today. So I'm curious what you think of Al Franken. He, of course, helped launch Air America and bring back progressive talk radio in this country. I'll always credit him for that. I don't think he was the greatest radio performer, and I think his show got kind of boring after a while. But I'll tell you, the next time I have a spare $50, I think I'll scratch out a check to Al Franken, because I'd love to see him knock off Norm Coleman. And certainly the debates in the Senate would be a lot more interesting, don't you think? So tell me what you think of that. Do you support Al Franken, and would you actually back it up with a check? 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. Jeanette in Sacramento, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. First-time caller.
Well, welcome to the program today. I want to welcome first-time callers because this is a kind of week when a lot of people are out of town, the kids are out of school, schedules change. And what it means is there's room for people to, well, screw up their courage and call the show.
Yeah, it's taken a while, but I am so frustrated and disappointed by these, call them debates, whatever you want to call them, but they're not really a debate.
No, they're not. It's a,
it's
you know,
one-sided Hillary, Hillary, Hillary. I'm feeling like she's being shoved down my throat, and I can't stand the woman.
Yeah?
I'm really a Dennis Kucinich fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that question about aliens was absolutely wrong.
Well,
it should not have been asked.
It came up. I've seen aliens. Unidentified flying objects. Jeanette, just a second. Let me talk here. It came up in the Philadelphia debate.
Right.
And it was a stretch at that point. But it was an issue relevant to the New York senator because her governor was proposing a certain piece of legislation. He has since backed off. He's not going to push on the driver's license bill. And yet CNN saw it as a way to embarrass people. And so they wanted to trot it out for her, and she wisely spoke about it as little as possible. And it became, I think, a moment where Bill Richardson distinguished himself as everybody else was squirming, saying, wow, 70% of people hate this stuff. I can't come out in favor of it. And Richardson just said, yes,
yeah.
And I did it 4 years ago.
Right, right.
What are you also embarrassed about?
Right. I'm just feeling like I'm being pressured. And women I talk to say, oh, yeah, I'm voting for Hillary. Well, she's not the best candidate. She's not the best candidate available, and it's just kind of really frustrating.
Yeah.
That just because she's a woman, don't give me that. Don't.
Well, I applaud you, Jeanette, for your strong views and not willing to, you know, go with the pack and make this a chick thing, because it is about who is the best candidate, and I agree. She is more of the same. She would take us backward, not forward. And she's one of those triangulating corporate Democrats.
And look at the way she's been voting on things. She is not for the people. I don't know how hard you can tell people. She's not voting for your best interest. even now.
Jeanette, thanks for your clear thinking, and thanks for braving a first-time call to the Peter B. Collins Show. Will you do it again?
I'll try. Thank you.
I sure hope you will. 888-5 Peter B. Let's talk. Free speech zone around the corner here. And thanks for listening today to the Peter B. Collins Show, produced by Katrina Rill. Podcasts are available at our website at peterbcollins.com. Talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good. Just like an organic tomato or strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that, you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The sandwich generation is being pressed like a panini. Adding to the burdens of career and child rearing are the responsibilities of caring for elderly parents. A comprehensive new study finds out-of-pocket expenses average $5,500 a year. But as CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes reports, the cost is not only financial.
Probably most significant for caregivers is the squeeze on their time. One person in the study said, "Time is the most expensive commodity I provide, but it has no price tag." Caregivers in the study spent on average 35 hours a week caring for their loved ones, and more than half of them said they did not work. A third said they had quit their jobs or reduced their work hours.
37% are actually saying that they feel more depressed over the situation. 65% are saying that they have a lot more stress and anxiety.
Still, most caregivers do it willingly.
I have to be there for them. I feel like I have to be there for them.
That's Marianne Winchell of Los Angeles. Her aging mother has leukemia and her father suffers from dementia. Winchell's husband is working 6 days a week to help pay the bills. This sound... A gas pump threatens to drown out the sound of cash registers this holiday season.
It will be a tough year for retailers.
Economist Bill Hampel on a new survey that finds high gasoline prices are likely to cut into gift budgets. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has more.
The Consumer Federation of America and an association of credit unions has been doing this survey for 8 years, and the 35% of Americans who report they'll cut back on holiday spending is the highest ever. Interestingly, while more people say economic worries, especially about gas prices, are causing them to reduce holiday spending, fewer than last year say they're worried about being able to pay their mortgage or credit card bills.
Mortgage and credit card worries had a big impact on the stock market today. CBS News reporter Alexis Christopher says the Dow dropped 218 points, closing below 13,000.
It was really a triple whammy for the stock market. Higher oil prices, more bad news from the housing market, and more credit jitters. Now Citigroup perhaps having to report $15 billion in credit-related losses. All of this adds up to a market that doesn't see a lot of reason to buy right now.
The National Association of Home Builders says its members are in a funk. Potential buyers are canceling contracts or having trouble meeting the higher standards for getting a mortgage. Days before Thanksgiving, the country's food banks are pleading for help. Donations are down at a time when the need is growing. The Agriculture Department estimates that 35 million Americans struggle to buy food, an increase of 2.5 million in just 2 years. The people who operate food pantries say they can't keep up with the demand. In Michigan, for example, there's a deficit of 1 million meals since last year at this time. The price of oil up 80 cents to $94.64 a barrel today. This is CBS News.
We're shopping mall, there's shopping mall. Things that are small, boss, big and tall. Where's Chinese food? There's Chinese food. Spicy chicken wing, chicken almond ding.
Bob's Big and Tall, things that are small. Nuvi knows the way to millions of destinations. The slim trim Garmin Nuvi.
Turn left on Holly Lane.
Give a Garmin. Give a Garmin.
Find the newbie that fits you at Garmin.com or your favorite retailer.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. You know, I love to grant wishes. The bigger, the better. And the biggest thing I know of this holiday is Sears Wishing Hours. This Monday and Tuesday from 4 p.m. to close, the Panasonic Lumix 7.2 megapixel digital camera is on sale for just $99.99. And go online to sears.com/wishes for next week's exclusive offers just for you. Sears Wishing Hours, Mondays and Tuesdays. Don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Prices may vary in Puerto Rico, Alaska, and Hawaii. Offer valid 11/19/07 through 11/20/07.
You can expect long lines at airports this week, but you can help move those lines along if you have proper ID and don't try to bring anything you shouldn't on the plane. CBS News correspondent Peter King has some advice.
Getting through the security line doesn't have to be a nightmare. TSA says there are no new rules this year, but spokesman Christopher White says you should be aware of the ones already in place. For example,
our 3-1-1 rule for liquids is still in effect. That's 3-ounce containers, one quart bag, one bag per person.
White says you still have to take your laptop out of your carry-on and take coats and shoes off before walking through the metal detector. One more tip, take those coins, phones, BlackBerries out of your pockets or off your belt and put them in your carry-on. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Walmart is only half kidding. Trying to make the most of the holiday shopping season, the giant retailer says it's asking London's Royal National Observatory to declare next Saturday Friday, so the big shopping day after Thanksgiving will be 48 hours long. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Ever wonder when buying a used car if you're just buying a used problem? Not if it's a Honda-certified used car. They're well-maintained, late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by a 7-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty from the original in-service date, and a 12-month, 12,000-mile limited non-powertrain warranty. And now get low APR financing on all Odyssey, Pilot, and S2000-certified used Honda models. It may be used, but it's still a Honda. Problem solved.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
The Sam's Club Day After Thanksgiving event. I wonder.
You should go.
Who are you?
I'm you, from the future. At that event, you buy your husband an HD TV and throw him a football party so legendary the neighbors name the block after you.
Jill Street?
Jill Boulevard.
Come to the Sam's Club Day After Thanksgiving event November 23rd. Doors open at 5 a.m., complimentary breakfast included. Sam's Club. Enjoy the possibilities. Join today to avoid the 10% service fee that applies to non-member purchases.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco.
Watch out.
Call in anytime, toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Six minutes past the hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're launching into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. You know the rules. You got the number? 888-5-PETER-B. It's toll free. I write the check myself. 888-573-8372. In a moment, we're going to talk with Tyson Slocum from Public Citizen about that nasty oil spill on San Francisco Bay. But held over from last hour, we've got, line three, it's Charles in Davis talking about Al Franken. Hello, Charles.
Yeah, hi, Peter. Thanks for plugging Al Franken. I think he'd be a great U.S. senator. He helped to keep a lot of our sanity together during the first few years of the Bush administration and through the 2004 election, mm-hmm. and then until 2006. He was very good at interviewing people from all different backgrounds and points of view, including the author of the book Fiasco, who mm-hmm. I think is one of your favorite war analysts.
Right. Yeah.
And
Al really impressed me as a guy who knows the issues in depth. I was a little surprised when I first heard him on the radio, able to cite chapter and verse on a defense appropriation bill, and very well-schooled on the issues.
Oh, yeah, extremely. I mean, the Republicans will attack him as a comic or a comedian, but his wit is a lot broader and deeper than that. He's really sharp on the issues, and that's what I think they're probably afraid of.
So Charles,
he's a real human being, unlike a lot of politicians. And
so Charles, do you need the address to send him a check?
I think it'd be good to tell me out loud what the address is.
All right, you got a pencil?
I'm ready.
Box 583-144. That's 583-144, Minneapolis, zip code 55458. 55458.
Okay.
And put a Minnesota on there so they don't get confused, all right?
Thank you.
All right, Charles.
Thank you. Bye.
Good to talk to you. We'll take more calls here in the next segment. If you want to get in line and get to the head of the line, call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. Tyson Slocum returns to our show from Public Citizen. How you doing, Tyson?
I'm great, Peter. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay, but I spent a little time not on the bay, but around San Francisco Bay over the weekend. And while we don't have big globules of bunker oil floating up every minute, the bay is still scarred with oil booms and other devices intended to collect as much oil as possible. And we know that because of the slow response to the original spill, that we're never going to recapture all of it. They've got about a third of the oil that they think they've either been able to clean up or has already evaporated.
Yeah, and, you know, that's really unfortunate that that there was that initial slow response. I know that there are still some criminal charges potentially pending against the captains of the boat. But this really is a tragic situation and just underscores continuing problems with not only emergency response, but trying to make sure that bad actors on the environmental front are held accountable for their actions.
Well, and Tyson, one of the things you might be able to educate us on is that the U.S. has such a hands-off policy toward merchant marine. You know, we've permitted all the U.S. flag vessels to disappear. We permit vessels from almost any flag to enter our ports. And, you know, most people don't give it a first thought, much less a second thought. It was the Dubai ports deal that came up, a year and a half ago, that really informed some people for the first time that our ports are not necessarily controlled by American companies, that the ships that come and go are owned by layers of companies too dense to really penetrate. When the San Francisco Chronicle started to dig into who actually controls this huge container ship, it's got a South Korean name on the side, but it is leased by a Hong Kong-based company, and the crew that was on it was on that ship for the first time that day because the ship had changed hands. And so they were part of a new ownership group that came in. It appears that this crew had not worked together before, had not been on this ship before, and had never sailed on San Francisco Bay before. So we have an incredible erosion of our standards that really underlies the events that led to this incident.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no question we need stronger regulation and stronger oversight over the system, and you have to begin with transparent ownership structures. You know, the lawyers have gone wild over the last couple of decades, creating limited liability partnerships to the point where it is very difficult to trace ownership of vessels and ownership of a lot of things in our economy. And that becomes a problem when you try to hold the ultimate owners accountable. There's a reason why big business moves towards these limited liability partnerships, because they want to be shielded from any of the risk associated with an accident or an environmental problem. Mm-hmm. But it shouldn't be the public that is always stuck with the bill. The folks that are making a lot of money in international trade ought to also pony up the risk as well.
Yeah. Speaker Pelosi held a hearing at the Presidio, which is a decommissioned Army base that is right at the south end of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Sure.
I've ridden my bike through there.
Oh, okay. It's a beautiful piece of property that is being converted from federal to local use. And Pelosi, of course, largely responsible for that, that whole deal. But the hearings had to be, of course, somewhat circumspect because the investigations are still underway. They couldn't really bring in the pilot or the bar captain, the bar pilot, who was there to help them navigate San Francisco Bay. But they did bring out representatives of the Coast Guard and really didn't give them any lashes, but I'm sure they've taken away their portions of grog for the foreseeable future. We've seen the Coast Guard fire the top official in charge of San Francisco Bay and bring in a new leadership there. But it appears to me that we're not really going to get very far because the Coast Guard has really a different mission now, doesn't it? I don't think the public was consulted on this. But the Bush administration has militarized the Coast Guard and really put them in charge of patrolling our sea borders much more than the work they used to do on inland waterways and a whole array of issues, including environmental protection.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the Coast Guard, we shouldn't put too much blame on them for being, out-resourced and undermanned to do a lot of duties. The Coast Guard is being asked to do a lot. Now, it's obvious in this particular instance that the, localized commander of the San Francisco area did make a mistake. But it's also important to remember that the only federal agency that functioned pretty well during Hurricane Katrina was the Coast Guard. They were the ones that that came in, were actually rescuing people. So it is unfortunate that this whole Department of Homeland Security reorganization that has happened under the Bush administration has been handled so ineptly, because the Coast Guard used to be under the Department of Transportation, where they were mainly focused on making sure that ports were running smoothly. And now the Coast Guard has been put under the Department of Homeland Security. Like you said, their primary focus has been shifted now to one of securing the border from various terror threats. But as we've seen, everything from the Minnesota bridge collapse to this debacle to Hurricane Katrina, the Bush administration's hyper-focus on threats of terrorism has left America badly exposed to these infrastructure problems, whether it is inadequate oversight and transparency over our shipping, whether it's our physical infrastructure, and that is beginning to, we're beginning to see that that's the real threat.
Tyson Slocum is with us from Public Citizen. Their website is citizen.org. I pulled it up a few minutes ago, and I see that one of your issues here is online health services, and you have a page at worstpills.org. Let's just add an S there, and you can start a whole new page, worstspills.org, Tyson.
That's right. Well, I might have to see if that domain is available, and we'll snap it up.
Yeah. What else would you like to add about the big picture here of, the responsibility for environmental spills like this and what we should be looking at as we try to prevent this kind of thing in the future?
Well, I really hope that that whatever corporation or partnerships that have been profiting off of this vessel are ultimately held accountable for costs associated with the spill cleanup. I'm really sick of seeing the American taxpayer always clean up after corporate America. Yeah. And we're fighting a war, but we can't even dedicate enough money to low-income children's health insurance programs.
Mm-hmm.
We really have skewed priorities, and it's clear that companies aren't always paying their fair share, and that's usually always true when it comes to environmental damage. I mean, Exxon continues to fight in the court system various lawsuits about the ultimate cost that ExxonMobil is responsible for the 1989 Valdez tanker spill up in Alaska.
Well, and when I first heard about this incident, I thought, oh, where's Captain Hazelwood? We ought to check the bar and see where he is. Peter in Salinas has a quick question for Tyson Slocum. Go ahead, Peter. Peter, do we have you? He wanted to know about bunker fuel. I guess we lost him there. Tyson, do you know much about that? Because it is the ugliest form of spillable petroleum when we find it in a waterway like this.
Right, yeah. It's you know, the fuel used to move boats. And, you know, usually it's not a problem as long as you've got a ship that isn't crashing into the Bay Bridge. So the problem here was... very clearly pilot error, and you know, it's going to be a very difficult challenge to move our cargo ship fleets to cleaner types of fuels, but it's something that we ought to start considering.
Yeah, wind power is one I can recommend. I'm a sailor. Thank you, Tyson.
Hey, my pleasure, Peter.
Okay, we'll talk to you again soon. That's Tyson Slocum at Public Citizen. Up next, your phone calls, Free Speech Zone. We're ready for you. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Right here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KIXA. Ah!
just got a call from Eureka. Somebody named Arkley wanted to know if he could bring his conservative girlfriend to the live Peter B. Collins show. Huh?
She's a real type A, and she's overinsured. Her favorite castaway is Thurston Howell III. She doesn't like big government, so it's no surprise I can be her lover long as I downsize. My conservative girlfriend got a tiny little heart full of passion. My conservative girlfriend, every Friday we go liberal bashing.
Yeah, come one, come all, even if your name's Arkley. You can come to the Eureka Theater on Friday, November 30th. We'll be broadcasting live our regular time, 3 to 6 p.m. And then in the evening, that guy, Roy Zimmerman, will be there to entertain you with songs like Conservative Girlfriend and Chicken Hawk and the Defenders of Marriage tune. Roy will do them all for us, and I hope you'll come out and join us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to reconnecting with all our pals in Eureka. And I need a big showing because, frankly, this is a benefit to keep the Peter B. Collins show from slipping into red ink and ruining me. So if you can join us, you'll be helping keep the show on the air. And I hope, hundreds and hundreds of people will come out. So spread the word to your friends, and don't be shy about just grabbing them, shove them in the car, and come on over. That's Friday, November 30th at the Eureka Theater, and Roy Zimmerman headlines our evening entertainment. His show will kick off at about 7:30. Taking your calls here at 888-5-PETER-B, and we get emails too. Eric emailed after hearing Elizabeth Kucinich on the program earlier today. Yeah, Dennis sure is one lucky dude. I just hope the Kucinich campaign uses some good strategy and pounds the hell out of Iowa from now till the caucus. Then maybe he can pull off a surprise victory in Iowa, springboarding him into the rest of the primaries. That's his best chance. Thanks, Eric. Now to Sacramento, where Kevin's listening to 1240 Talk City, KSAC. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Peter?
I'm okay today. You?
I'm good. Just got off of work, you know.
Oh, that's nice.
But, actually what I wanted to say about with Kucinich is that, honestly, realistically, he's not going to get elected, you know. That's just the plain truth. It sucks, but it's the truth. And what I want to know is that he's not even a third-party candidate. He's in the Democratic Party.
That's right.
So how come he's not electable? Well, like, most Democrats that I talk to, they always are saying, like, he's the poster child. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I love Kucinich, but he's not going to win. And usually you hear that usually like about Nader or somebody else in like a third party that they like the person, but mm-hmm. they know they're not going to win. But he's in the Democratic Party. I just don't see how he doesn't have a chance.
He's not a corporate Democrat.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't have. Oh, okay. So he doesn't get a lot of money, that's for sure. But
well, and because he takes progressive positions, there's no health insurance company that's going to donate to his campaign. The Wall Street types who support Edwards, Obama, and Clinton aren't writing checks to Dennis Kucinich. Those who are making money off the war in Iraq, not likely to support Dennis Kucinich because he's the guy who's got the plan to get us out faster and, more comprehensively than most of the others have articulated.
Yeah.
You're not going to get contributions from the media because he's a critic of the corporate media in this country. You can just go down the checklist. Unfortunately, the fact that he has taken strong positions doesn't rely on, you know, code words and winks and nods, really puts him outside of the mainstream.
Right.
And, you know, I, as you heard me talking to Elizabeth, he's the perfect package in terms of the issues.
Yep.
Single payer health care, rolling back the Bush tax cuts, you know, restoring our civil liberties and the Constitution as the basis for our government, holding Bush and Cheney accountable. I mean, all of these things, he puts the mainstream Democrats to shame because his positions are so clear and relatively comprehensive.
For sure. Okay, cool. All right, well, thanks for clearing that up, Peter.
Okay, Kevin, great to have you listening. Glad you got off work today. 888-5-PETER-B. And, hey, if you had a chance to go to the State Democratic Party event in Anaheim this weekend, I read one disturbing report. A group of progressives went into a hearing or a session with some information intending to call for the censure of Senator Dianne Feinstein for her recent Republican votes for Mukasey for Attorney General and Southwick for a lifetime judicial appointment. If you know anything about what transpired there, call and give me a report. I'd like to know. 888-5-PETER-B. Lines are open for the rest of the hour, so call and tell me what's on your mind. 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
We get to hear farther into space than anybody's ever heard before.
Yeah. Are there other people out there in the universe?
That's a good question. What do you think, huh?
I don't know.
It's a good answer. Skeptic, huh? Well, the most important thing is that you all keep searching for your own answers. I'll tell you one thing about the universe, though. The universe is a pretty big place. It's bigger than anything anyone has ever dreamed of before. So if it's just us, it seems like an awful waste of space.
We are not alone. This is Bob Oliver. I have seen UFOs using night vision equipment. You can too. They are real just like you and me. Take the Quantum Leap Saturday morning, 11 a.m. on KRXA 540. That's 11 a.m. Saturday.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American-made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Love.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We call it the Free Speech Zone. We take your calls toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Even if it's your first time, I'll be gentle. Yes, for the very first time, I want you to call the Peter B. Collins Show. You dial 1, and then 3-8, and then 573, followed by 8372. And if you don't call the program today, somebody sent me a letter from Congressman Dan Lundgren, the knuckle-dragging Republican from suburbs of Sacramento. And if we run out of calls, I might have to read the Lundgren letter, okay? That should work. 888-573-8372. Also looking for a report. Anybody who went to the state Democratic meeting in Anaheim over the weekend, progressives were attempting to pass a censure resolution against Senator Dianne Feinstein. We spoke about it on the program Friday. Susan in Soquel brought it to my attention, and I appreciate that, Susan. But I'd like to know what eventually happened. I got one email report that there was a bit of a scuffle as the progressives who entered this room had a sign, which I believe depicted how many people had signed their petition and maybe articulated the reasons they want to censure the senior senator of California. But they were roughly treated by the Democratic leaders in the room. And frankly, I don't know if the resolution even got heard, much less passed. So if you know that, call me and we'll talk about it. Now to line one, it's Bruce in Sacramento. Hello, Bruce, you're on the air.
How you doing, Peter?
Pretty good.
First time caller.
All right. Virgins, they're everywhere. Good to hear from you.
I really appreciate your show since you've come into SAC here. It's been nice to listen to you.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that, and I'm glad you called. So what do you want to talk about?
Well, I was just moved to call because, man, I hear this, Kucinich sounds great, but he's not electable stuff. Even, you know, anybody who sounds great but is not electable. And every time it makes me want to just say, well, you know, yeah, like the imminently electable George Bush, like he ever said or did anything that made him electable prior to him being elected. I mean,
it's in the DNA, man. He was entitled to be president.
Right.
And it was really just our job to get out of the way.
Yeah. The presence of mind that Kucinich has to say the things he says, you know, it is a leader. And if people don't want to look at somebody for the qualifications of a leader, that's just, you know, typical of what we have to deal with in our society. You know?
Yeah.
So well, that was what I felt like calling you and talking to you about.
Okay, but I think that explains 2004. All right, Dennis Kucinich was a fresh face, except in Cleveland and parts of Ohio. And, you know, he came on at a time of war as a man who opposed the war. And, you know, John Kerry presented this mistaken idea that what progressives and Democrats wanted was a military man. But I think that this time he certainly is more mainstream, if only because Mike Gravel is there to act like a little wacky and unpredictable guy. And I believe that on the issues, there's nobody who is more in sync with the American public. That we want single-payer health care. We want out of Iraq as fast as possible. And we want to erase the damage that has been done by this administration
by projecting peace first and military action only as a last resort. I mean, I really think that's where middle America is, not just those of us who are here on the left coast.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that it's just a matter of the marketing of Kucinich and the, you know, everybody in America loves a winner. You know, they love to, if they announce tomorrow that Kucinich was the most popular guy, then all, everybody would say they're down with him. You know, so I think it's just a really, small, it's like moving a refrigerator with your thumb. You know, you just need to have the right little motivator take place, and then Kucinich's message and his leadership ability, I think, will definitely be a formidable thing to deal with.
Now, let me ask you this: if you know, like other callers, if you feel that in your heart you're a Kucinich supporter, but you can read the reality that he's not going to win the nomination, what kind of moves do you think could occur between now and at least February 5th, when we're going to vote here in California? For example, if Kucinich could swallow his pride and hold his nose and team up with one other candidate, who would be most compatible in your view?
Well, from the guys that stand up on the stage, you know, at the, like, say, the Pennsylvania debate, I mean, I think Dodd and Kucinich are about the only two guys that have the credibility at the end of the day, who seem to be able to talk brass tacks and not be afraid of being condemned as, you know, just speak in their mind. I think that those are the two guys.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, yeah, I mean, I know what I'm saying. I mean, I know the Hillary candidacy is the big popular one, but I just look at the other side of things and say, well, who's the big popular guy in the Republican thing? You know, Rudy, you know, any of these guys are just, you know, I would say it's just up to people to really, really get out and start talking to one another about the issues, or it really probably doesn't matter who's going to be elected, who's going to be offered up before us, because, you know, we obviously don't care enough about the issues if we don't want to pay attention to the one guy or two guys that are even talking about them.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, Bruce, yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. It was your first time. Was it good for you?
Oh, man, it's great.
It was good for me, too.
Through.
Call me again, all right? Thank you. Joey, somewhere on the Central Coast, it says, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing okay today, you?
Pretty good. Yeah, I was just calling because I went to the Drake's Bay Oyster Farm.
Sure.
And it was actually closed down due to the oil spill.
Yeah.
And, it's actually my roommate's.
There is concern that those bivalves, you know, will absorb some of the oil sludge or the toxic slime, and that it can contaminate the food. So the crab season's been delayed, and I had heard that the oyster farm was temporarily shut down too.
Yeah, I was wondering, is there going to be any sort of like government subsidizing to those fisheries?
I don't know so far. What they have done to try to help the crab fishermen in San Francisco Bay was they've hired them to do some of the oil cleanup, since they're unable to go out on their boats and do the crab thing. So that was a kind of short-term gesture. But I don't know long-term who's going to be able to hold the people responsible for the spill. And I mentioned that to Tyson, that there are layers of these companies. And we don't know actually whose pockets are going to be tapped into and whose insurance policies will actually cover the cost of the cleanup. We just don't know. So I think that's one of the things that may be determined about 9 years from now by a whole bunch of lawyers who will suck up all the money, and then they'll send a check to Drake's Bay for $150. And by the way, I have had some contact with the family that owns the oyster farm there. They're very nice people, very committed to the environment, and there are issues about whether they're going to be able to retain their lease because it's in the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. And
yeah.
I just, since you know about them and you apparently like the oysters, if you have an opportunity, write a letter to Feinstein or Boxer and tell them that you support the Drake's Bay lease and an extension of it.
Yeah, it really reminded me of the pages right out of the Pearl from John Steinbeck.
Oh, yeah, good. Joey, yeah. Thanks for the call. Great to hear from you today. Now to Ed in Aptos. Welcome, Ed. Haven't talked to you in a while.
No, I was took a
time away from home.
Well, it's good to have you back.
I left just shortly after you returned from yours.
Oh, that was a long time ago. Yeah, I was gone a long time. I apologize.
No apologize.
It was worth it.
you need to recharge your batteries every once in a while.
Yes, we do.
But I was at the Democratic meeting down in Anaheim this weekend, and what happened was that it was killed in the resolution committee.
Okay, so it never got out of committee.
No, it never got out of committee. We tried to bring it to the floor, and the Gary Shea that runs, he was running the meeting at that time, said, well, it was couldn't do that because it's against the bylaws. Somebody wanted to move to suspend the rules. Says he can't do that. Well,
now, give me
I'm thinking the rules, if you want to suspend the rules, you can suspend the rules. You can do anything you want under Robert's rules.
Sure you can, yeah.
But he's, oh, no, that's against the bylaws, so you can't do it.
Well, apparently there was a scuffle as one of the proponents of the censure resolution came in with a sign, and they said, oh, we don't have room for that here. There are too many people in the room.
Well, that happened in the resolutions committee, and I wasn't there at the time.
So okay.
I can't speak to that.
But, yeah.
It was, I think that the hierarchy in the party was supporting the, Feinstein, and the rank and file was more amenable to passing. Well, the Progressive Caucus did pass a resolution censuring.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Of censure for her. So within the system, we have these various caucuses that meet, and so they're independent of the resolution. The committees, caucus and committees, mm-hmm. two different animals.
Right. Yeah. So it's not going anywhere. It survived the vote in the Progressive Caucus.
Yeah, we meet once a quarter, and next meeting will actually be the full committee, which is basically the state convention, which will be held in San Jose in February.
Okay.
And it's open to public if people want to come and look and see that. So I'll probably call and talk about it as it draws near.
All right. Please do and remind people, to attend, because I often forget about those meetings, and honestly, most of it is sleep-inducing.
Yes. I had one thing. I haven't been to the gas pump lately. I just, luckily, I haven't been doing, once I got finished with my traveling, I wasn't doing hitting the road very much. But I just sit and wonder that the figures, what our gas prices have done under Bush versus what they did under Clinton. It would be an interesting exercise in seeing that. And
There's hardly any comparison. I mean, during the 90s, what do we pick up, about 50 cents a gallon in increased costs?
Even if it's...
That's what I remember.
Yeah. And I can't see how all these... somebody that supported Bush and keeps supporting Bush, how they can look their fellow citizens in the eye and say he's the best thing since sliced bread. It is just completely maddening.
Yeah, it sure is. Ed, welcome back. Thanks for your call today.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Peter V. in Salinas also wants to update us on the Democratic Party meeting. Hi, Peter.
Good afternoon, Mr. Collins.
Oh, there you go again.
I knew it. Well, I'm reporting that the comment I found was from State Party Chairman Art Torres. Quote, said the motion, sponsored by left-leaning activists, probably Democrats, was excessive and would divide the party at the crucial time just before the 2008 race for the White House, end quote.
Oh, geez. Art Torres is such a
fill in the blank.
He's a hack.
Okay, there we go.
I mean, you know, he got elected state party chair. And the job is supposed to rotate one term to the next between Northern and Southern California. So he's got a house in San Francisco or an apartment and one in Los Angeles. And he's been party chair, I think he's in his third term.
Right.
Art, sit down, enjoy your pension, leave the progressives alone. You're not a progressive, Art. You're a party hack.
Well, Peter, that's what we would expect for a Feinstein reprimand would be. Nothing, or maybe less.
Yeah,
Peter, I would like to make my last comment on how I'm feeling about the upcoming 2008 election myself. Peter, I feel that if I vote for a Republican like Rudy Giuliani, that he'll slash my throat and steal my money. But I also know that if I vote for Democrat Hillary Clinton that she'll stab me in the back and steal my money. And, Peter, I'm told that if I vote independent, I'm just throwing my vote away. Well, I say I'm pitching for Kucinich. Let the pitch fall where it may.
Well, let the knives find you.
Oh, no. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Peter. We'll take more of your calls. If you're on the line, stay there. If you want to join us, call in now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
An injury crash at the Contra Costa County line. 2 to 3 vehicles involved in.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for traffic, and it's the final traffic report of the night, which is always a sad thing. Just kidding. All right, we want to take a look at Capitola, southbound on Highway 1 between 41st Avenue and, southbound Highway 1 before 41st Avenue. Motorcyclist down in the right lanes. Injuries being reported, unfortunately, and we do have paramedics, fire department, CHP all on scene. Other than that, looking pretty good around the area. Going to mention that we have some slow traffic. Eastbound 25 slows out of Gilroy into Hollister. Southbound 1, Highway 1, you may encounter a little bit of slow-and-go traffic from Monterey into Carmel at this point. By the way, Santa Cruz northbound 1 at M-Line, the off-ramp closed for road construction till the summer of 2008.
The Peter B. Collins Show, rolling some stones as we get ready to vacate here. Oh, yeah, I'm going to miss you, child. 888-5 Peter B. Pat knows how to dial the number from Redwood. Welcome, Pat. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B.
Hi.
Don't know anything about this censure thing, but I decided in the last election to vote for anyone but Feinstein.
Yeah.
And except for a Republican, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a protest.
I'm with you, Pat. I have voted for the Green Party candidate in the last two senatorial races here in California.
Why?
Yeah.
Excellent. So I think I agree with an article in The Nation magazine. Do not make contributions to your senator don't vote for your senator if they voted for torture, as the Mukasey vote.
Well, Pat, we recently exposed, I've been a longtime fan of The Nation. I'm a subscriber. We have a lot of their writers and columnists on the program. But Peter Byrne is an independent journalist who investigated the ties of Dianne Feinstein and her businessman husband, millionaire Richard Blum, and exposed that there's some very uncomfortably cozy relationships there. And Feinstein voted on matters that directly benefited her husband. And in a community property state, that means, just like John Doolittle, having his wife run the fundraising and taking a 15% commission, that goes to Doolittle, not just his wife. You know, in a community property state, you can't play that game. So I think there's serious questions about Feinstein's ethics, but we'll see no examination of them because she's got a lock on the seat. And as we saw at this party confab, the leaders of the Democratic Party will certainly not tolerate those who want to criticize Senator Feinstein. And just a quick programming note, because we'll be off on Thanksgiving Day, we're going to replay the interview with Peter Byrne. And Katrina, do you remember which hour that is?
No.
Okay, tune in on Thanksgiving. You'll hear it. It's either the first or the second hour. I don't remember.
Will do. Thanks for the tip.
Okay, Pat. Good to have you listening.
Thank you.
It's the second hour. Thank you. John in Carmel Valley, you're on the air. Welcome today.
Deborah Lindsay on her Tomorrow Matters program had on a super sharp guy today, and I didn't get his name. Otherwise, I would have highly commended him to be on your program.
All right. Well, I'll ask Deborah about it. What did he talk about?
He talked about all kinds of things, but in the discussion it came out, because I'm not sure he brought this out, it might have been Deborah or her husband Spencer, that recently there have been ships that have smell or scent detectors on them that, especially, I guess, oil tankers, and they were picking up methane out in the mid-Pacific.
Really?
And it turns out to be not anything connected with the ships, that it's methane welling up from down below.
Hmm.
And that's another ghastly, ominous sign that I wasn't aware of this, so just listening to the program for that was worthwhile, let alone all the other things that were said. But one more sign, we're turning this planet into the Amityville Horror.
Now, Peter, from what you can recall, how far offshore are these methane clouds welling up?
I didn't get that, but I would guess it was far out because it's from deep water. This is methane that has been sort of frozen, if not actually, figuratively, and as the temperature, it must indicate that the water deep down is beginning to warm as well, which, you know, one thing about global warming, that anybody that's known anything about the weather will tell you, you don't want to change the weather. You don't even want nature to change the weather, because everything around us is set up, evolved or God-ordained or whatever, to the way things generally are. So any change can precipitate unpleasant results.
Mm-hmm.
And the horror is, if I'm sure people who are sharper than I and have the internet, which I don't have as an access, could tell you chapter and verse, way beyond what most of us know about what is happening, and if we knew about it, we'd be biting our fingernails down to nubbins. Not that that's a good thing, but we need to just get off our duffs and get out of this blasted couple of wars that are taking all our resources and our attention away from what really needs to be dealt with.
Well, I sure agree with you. And, John, I'm sorry I called you Peter a moment ago. I was looking at the screen. I would just encourage you to send me any information, and I'll try to get in touch with Deborah and
yeah,
see
that.
If I can
tell
find out more, because this is curious.
You know, on Tuesday the 19th, Monday the 19th, and he was one sharp guy.
Mm-hmm. All right. We will track it down, and I appreciate you tipping me off.
Okay.
Thank you, John. Well, I want to thank everybody who called the program today and everybody who listened but didn't call. Thank you, too. want to recommend the website foxnewsporn.com. In case you weren't listening at the beginning of the show when Cliff Schechter shared that with us, foxnewsporn.com. Don't click on that in front of your kids, okay? And briefly, the letter from Dan Lundgren to a constituent. Thank you for your letter concerning the subject of impeaching Vice President Cheney. I always appreciate hearing from my constituents, even when we disagree. Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution provides that the president shall be removed from offices for conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes. It's my view that it's not appropriate for this provision to be used for the purpose of constitutionalizing differences over policy. Oh, Dan. Get your knuckles off the ground. Think for yourself, will you? I'm Peter B. Collins. This program's produced by Katrina Rill. We'll do it again tomorrow. Thank you.
Hemp, the superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp. This God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Mary Ann Winchell of Los Angeles is like many middle-aged moms. She has a family to take care of, but feels a special obligation to her aging parents.
I have to be there for them. I feel like I have to be there for them.
They need a lot of care. Her father has dementia. Her mother's been diagnosed with leukemia. So Winchell and her husband are moving her parents into their home.
Because of our finances, we are moving them with us because it is a hardship having them live somewhere else.
A new survey finds there are 34 million Americans in similar circumstances, spending on average $5,500 a year on things not covered by Medicare. And it's not just the money, reports CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes.
Probably the most significant for caregivers is the squeeze on their time. In fact, one person in the study said, time is the most expensive commodity I provide, but it has no price tag. Still, most of the people who participated in this study said that they did this willingly. But what they had to put aside was spending on leisure activities, saving for themselves, for their future, and saving for their children's future.
That could make it harder to put the kids through college, and it could mean that parents who haven't saved enough for their golden years will be dependent on their kids as they age. When things get tight, we cut the frills first, and this year that might mean fewer presents under the tree. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Worried about the rising price of gas, many Americans say they'll spend less this year on the holidays.
A number of U.S. households feel financially strapped and are looking for ways to cut spending.
Bill Hampel of the Credit Union National Association says their annual survey with the Consumer Federation of America shows the highest percentage yet of Americans saying they will cut back this year, 35%.
It will be a tough year for retailers.
If those who say now they'll cut back on gift giving really end up doing that. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Washington.
For many of us, the big dilemma after Thanksgiving dinner will be what to do with all the leftovers. But millions of Americans can only wish they had that problem. And as CBS News correspondent Seth Doan reports, their numbers are growing.
A mother of four, Melissa Aya's cupboards are almost bare, and lately she's been going to the local food pantry every week.
Going to the food pantry does make a difference. I mean, an extra roll of toilet paper, an extra can of vegetables, a bag of rice.
Thank you.